Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Friday after a bit of a long month here in December on the show. I know it's been a little bit of time since I saw you last this week. Our last show was on Monday. And of course, we took about a three-day break here for the holidays, Christmas Eve, Christmas, the day after, so I can rest a little bit, so I can relax, enjoy the season. And it's been a long month like that. You know, I think we've missed probably a lot of shows this past month between my speech in Iowa, my appearance on the Milo show in New York a few weeks ago, the Groiper Summit, and then the holidays. It's been a busy month, and so this Friday will conclude a long and busy month on America First, really a long and busy year, and ultimately the decade. Ultimately, this will be the last show of the 2010s, if you can believe it. This will be the last show, last episode of America First of the 2010s on the last Friday of the 2010s, which is kind of significant when you think about it. You know, I haven't really even thought about it too much up until like the last 2 to 3 weeks. It didn't really even dawn on me that it was the end of the 2010s. I don't know about you guys, how you guys feel about this, but to me, the end of the decade kind of crept up on me. I thought, like, you know, 2019, and then it's 2020. And probably about 3 weeks ago, I was driving home from Iowa. I was driving back to Chicago, and I was thinking, damn, it's the end. It's the end of the 2010s. It's going to be 2020, but then it won't be the 2010s anymore. It'll be the 20s anymore. I'll be living through the 20s again. 20s part two. You know, the 1920s, now the 2020s. So it snuck up on me a little bit, crept up on me, and now we are here. We are finally at the end. It is a mere 4 days away. We are a mere 4 days away before the end of the decade. And we've got a great show for you tonight to cap off the end of the 2010s. We're going to be talking about the future here a little bit. We're going to be talking about some of the projections for the next decade, talking about what's going to happen with the economy, with demography, with technology, you know, what we can expect to see in the next 10 years. And so it should be a pretty interesting show, a little bit of a departure from what we usually do. I know usually the show is obviously about current events, things like that. Obviously, it's been a very eventful few months on the show with Groiper Wars, and we just had the Leadership Summit last weekend, so it's a bit of a weird sort of a time on the show. I can assure you that once we come back in January, there'll be a bit of a return to normalcy. It'll be probably back to the way things are, right? Back into a much more standard schedule, a much more standard routine, and also more standard subjects. But I do think it's worth talking about. We're on, you know, the eve of the final Friday, or it is rather the final Friday of the 2010s. And it's worth looking back on the last decade and also looking ahead to the next decade. So I will clarify, though, I've been saying this is going to be the last show of the decade. People must be wondering, but Nick, what does that mean? Does that mean you're not going to do the show for the next 10 years? What about next week? What about, you know, Monday and Tuesday, which is the 30th and the 31st? So I will actually be taking a vacation from the show all throughout next week. I will be gone Monday through next Friday. And so the show will be coming back actually on January 6th, 2020 will be the return of the show. It'll be the first Monday of January, first Monday of the new year. And I know it's been a long month, a lot of absences on the show, but believe me, I need a little bit of a vacation here. You know, the holidays aren't exactly a vacation because, you know, you've got to see family and it's very busy and you've got to do shopping and, well, I didn't have to do much shopping. I tell my mom, hey, is there anything you picked out for dad and my sister that I could just give you $25 and I could say I paid for it and so on. But you know, but it's busy for the holidays, so I got to take a little bit of a break. It's been a long couple of months. And you know, the reason I'm doing it is merely because we're going to be gearing up in 2020 in a way that is unprecedented in the history of America First. I can't really spoil what is to come in 2020, but as you know, 2020 is an election year. It's the culmination of the past, really, 3 years of the show. I think 2020 is really going to be a real turning point, no pun intended, for America First, for me professionally. And so I can't really spoil, I'm not really at liberty to say what is to come, but I wouldn't be taking a break if it wasn't necessary. You know, the way I think about it is this. I get 1 week off now, it's going to be like working like hell for the next year with the election, a lot of new things I'm doing, a lot of new projects, new opportunities. And then after a year, I've really been doing the show for like 3 years almost without more than a week off at any given time, you know, and then maybe in a year, year and a half, then maybe I'll take like a little bit more time off because it's really just been a marathon or a sprint really since the show began in February 2017. I've been doing the show every day, and in the past couple of months, it's gotten crazy unmanageable where I have to scale up. Maybe that's a hint as to where the show is going. The workload for one man alone at this level is getting a little bit unmanageable, so I might have to scale up in 2020. I'll leave that to your imagination, what that could possibly mean, but it's going to entail a lot. Long story short, I'm going to be taking a break next week. This will be the last show of the 2020s. I'll be returning on January, will that be the 6th? January 6th, which will be a Monday. And then, of course, another reminder, tomorrow is the 2010s Rewind stream. So I talked a little bit about this, I think, on Monday's show and last Friday's show. I'll be on DLive tomorrow for 10 hours. I'll be streaming from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until midnight. And I'll be going over the 2010s. I'm sighing a little bit there because, you know, a 10-hour stream, kind of a daunting task. But we're going to be going over all the music of the 2010s, games, movies. It's going to be a 2010s Rewind stream, and we're going to be looking at all the different things that have been happening in the last 10 years. Schmooting, talking with friends, e-celebrities, groypers, playing games, listening to music. It should be a nice little send-off. You know, that's why I said we have to look back at the 2010s. That's what we'll be doing tomorrow, and we'll be looking forward to the 2020s. That's what I aim to do tonight. That's sort of what we're going to try and do on the show tonight. So, should be a pretty fun weekend here on the show. You know, Big Friday 2020s anticipation stream. Tomorrow's the Rewind stream. I'll be taking a break. I'll be taking a break for a week, and then I'll be coming back, hitting the ground running. Some big things coming in January. Big things in February. I mean, I'm just thinking about like the next 3 or 4 months, and it's very daunting, and that's like 4 months. You know, who knows what the next year will bring. 2020 is going to be a big year, big decade, decade of the Groyper, decade of America First in a big way. But before we dive into the 2020's predictions and everything, just want to say I hope everybody had a great Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, a little bit early for 2020. Happy New Year and everything. I hope you had a good holiday with friends and family. Hope you didn't try to red pill the relatives. Like I said on Monday, you know, every holiday, well, really, like every Thanksgiving and Christmas that I've done on this show so far, I've been doing the show now, we've done 3 Christmases, 3 Thanksgivings, and without fail, invariably, every year when it's the holiday season, I get asked, how am I going to red pill my parents on Thanksgiving? How am I going to red pill my grandma? How am I going to red pill my uncles on Christmas? Don't. So I hope you didn't do that. I hope you just took the time to enjoy the company of your family. Family's the most important thing. You know, look, if they're already red-pilled, that's fine. My grandma's already red-pilled, so she comes over and we have a great time. We bash certain people. You know, we have a great time talking about politics and things, but what I'm really talking about is the combativeness. You know, just generally, you want to try to keep it as amicable, as smooth, nice as possible. That's what the holidays are about. It's about getting together with family, celebrating that. It's the most important thing. You know, faith as well, obviously, too. The birth of Christ is the reason for the season, so to say, so to speak. So I hope everybody enjoyed their holidays. Hope you got good presents and everything. You know, I mean, I got some pretty good presents. It was a lot of clothes, okay? I know Christmas is not about the presents, I'm told. And I love my presents, don't get me wrong. I love the presents from Santa Claus, from family and everything, but it's like, you know, it's like a lot of clothes. And I need clothes. I like clothes. I hate doing clothes shopping and all that. And I like the clothes that I got. I love the clothes that I got. Thank you to everybody that got me clothes, but it's like, you know, it's a lot of clothes, you know? And I'm like, when I'm like 13 or whatever, it's like, where's the toys? Where's Star Wars action figures, video games, you know, Fallout New Vegas, Modern Warfare 2. I remember I got those in one night. One night, Modern Warfare 2 and Fallout New Vegas. That was one Christmas, you know? So you go from, You go from Geonosis Arena, Star Wars playset, Modern Warfare 2, Fallout New Vegas. And, you know, it's like close. But it's great, but I love the close, but thanks. Don't want to be ungrateful. You know, it's, of course, I love what I got. So that's Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. But we're going to dive in. We're going to dive into the 2020s. It was very interesting. I was doing some research for this show, more than usual, because, you know, usually it's just the current events, and I kind of have an idea of what's happening in the world, and I'm keeping track of it on a day-to-day basis, so I can kind of follow and see what's happening. You know, I have a little bit of deep background knowledge, but I wanted to see what the main predictions were for the 2020s, what are the big events that are already pre-planned that we can expect with some degree of certainty. And what I could not get over, as I'm doing my research, and there's some of the usual stuff, you know, I'm reading. The main source that I took is Bank of America and Merrill Lynch have done this exhaustive report about what the markets are going to expect in the 2020s. Really, the best kind of indicators you get are from, unfortunately, the banks, economists, because they have the money on the line. And so world events and human events shape how people are investing. They shape investment attitudes and what they can expect about money and things like that. So that's why I think they're probably the best suited to make these kinds of predictions. So that was the main source. You know, I see that, and I take what they say with a grain of salt, you know, recognizing sort of where they're coming from. I read a lengthy article by Steve Pinker, and I think the Financial Times. Steve Pinker, who is this, he's one of these Ivy League scholars. I forget what school he's from, but he's one of these, like, what do you call them? The intellectual dark web type people, and he's one of these ultra liberals, and you can guess that his report was about Millennium Development Goals from the United Nations and progressivism. Not like left progressivism, but this sort of idea from liberals, classical liberals, that society is bending forward towards, you know, less disease and less poverty and more democracy, and what a wonderful thing that is. The United Nations is everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? So I got a lot of the usual suspects, but what I could not get over was page after page of search results, I would see articles about sports. And there'd be articles about, here's what we can expect in the world of sports in the 2020s. Here are the teams that, what did it even say? What is even the language? They're like the all-decade teams of the 2020s. Here are the major sports trends we could predict in the 2020s. And I'm just thinking, how vapid, how hollow. And look, I don't love to rail against sports. I understand it comes across a certain way. People like their sports. I don't want to rain on everybody's parade. I like Star Wars. I spent like 3 hours today watching like Star Wars clips on YouTube, Star Wars lore and scenes. So I'm not here to neg anybody for what they like. But I am just thinking, like, who is thinking about the next 10 years? And instead of thinking about space and technology and demography, conflict, geopolitics, whatever, pop culture even, they're thinking, who's going to make it to the Super Bowl in 2025? What are the teams that are going to dominate the NBA in the 2020s? Who gives a shit? How can you even predict these things? We don't even know. The athletes of 2027, they're like in high school right now, or they're in middle school. We don't even know. And I don't know how it works. Maybe it's like, you know, teams are being built and there's younger players, and I'm sure there's something to it, but I'm just, you know, these people that are just so meticulous about the science of sports. Well, here are the big trends in football. Oh, wow, you know, like we can't reach a little bit more than that. But anyway, we're gonna jump into the 2010s. Like I said, what I'm basing the show off of is Bank of America and Merrill Lynch. Banks. Okay, we don't love banks, but they do have to sort of forecast in the long term, like I said, so that the money people can kind of predict what's going to happen. They can have some degree of predictability here. And so we have 10 major trends that Bank of America and Merrill Lynch say will dominate the 2020s. 10 major trends, major themes for the 2020s. And I'll read off the list, and then I'll read off sort of a short blurb from each. And there's definitely a conclusion here. Don't think that this is just sort of like a fun sort of like Yahoo News tier, like, fun overview of, here's some fun little predictions for the 2020s. There's definitely a reason why we're going over this. I think it's very much pointed in a specific direction. It really gives a good idea of where we're all headed as people that watch this show, as me that does the show. You know, I think maybe you'll start to understand what I'm getting at with some of these themes here. So I'll read off the list, and then we'll go in and break some of them down in a little bit more depth. So the trends that they say will dominate the 2020s are peak globalization, recession, quantitative failure, demographics, climate change, robotics and automation, the splinter net, more on that in a moment, moral capitalism, smart everything, and space. Those are the 10 trends. And so I'll go by and break them down, some of the more important ones. So peak globalization, this is their little blurb on this. It says the 1981 to 2016 era of unchecked flow of goods, people, and capital is coming to an end, catalyzed by the widespread recognition that while globalization has meant lower consumer prices, it has also meant slower growth, precarious employment, and social disruption. I find it very interesting that they're principally concerned with economic measures, firstly. You know, slower growth, precarious employment, and social disruption. Well, I think social disruption is sort of putting it mildly, right? It says countries will develop explicit national industrial policies. Maybe you can sort of see where this is heading. National industrial policies and boost spending on R&D to foster local innovation, protect nascent industries, and shield national champions from hostile foreign takeovers. So that's what they mean by peak globalization. Peak, meaning it has reached its apex and then is on the way down. The globalization will either be scaled back or the pace of globalization will slow down dramatically. And to me, this is the biggest and most obvious political trend that we've been seeing in the last 10 years. I think it's probably been percolating in the last 30 years, really, since globalization kicked into high gear, since the end of the Cold War. This is probably the most obvious one. And, you know, to me, that's a very good thing. This bodes very well for what we're doing on the show. I don't want to sort of spoil what I'm getting at here. I'm trying to build a little bit of a picture of the 2020s. But, you know, the idea that globalization has sort of run its course, that people are getting tired of it, they're frustrated with it, that maybe the easy and cheap fruits of globalization are all gone, and now we're sort of left with the costs. I think that's a very important theme politically for what we're going to see in the 2020s. And notice it says, from 81 to 2016, the era of unchecked flow of goods, people, and capital. What does that mean? That means free trade, that means mass immigration, and that means international finance. That's what that means. You know, so a lot of times when we're talking about the political dynamic, we're trying to frame politics based on where we've been and where we're going. I mean, that's what politics is. How do you frame, for example, the 2016 election? Well, you have to look at trends. You have to look at what is important. Society is always changing, but what are the ways that really matter based on contextually where we've been and where we're going in the future? Well, the main theme of the past 40 years, really, of American history and world history, contemporary history, is this globalization. And like it says, the unchecked flow of goods, people, and capital. That's what's dominated the past 40 years, and that's what will dominate the next 10 at the minimum, is the subject of this rapid transformation that's happening of the planet, that goods are flowing freely between countries without trade barriers, without other kinds of barriers, that people are now moving. That's, to me, probably the biggest one, is mass migration on a global scale, not just in America. In America, it's from the southern border, and it's to an extent legally from Asia and other continents, but, you know, this is also happening in Europe. There are mass movements of people happening in Asia. It's happening in Africa. So you've got the unchecked flow of people, and you've also got capital, which is international finance, investment, weird financial instruments. You know, a lot of ways what we saw in the 2010s and what we'll see in the 2020s, we saw foreshadowed in the 2008 recession. The idea that in 2008, the American economy collapsed because of, what was it, collateralized debt obligations, mortgage-backed securities, you know, because of this weird financial instrument in America, because of this weird sort of late-stage capitalism, weird investment-type scheme, the whole world economy was brought down in on itself because of how interconnected everything was. I think that was sort of a harbinger of where the world is headed economically. So the idea is we've seen, again, the consequences of mass migration, the consequences of unfettered free trade, of international finance, and we see that represented in the migration crises, the 2008 recession, the destruction of industries, local in not just America, but in other countries, people are saying enough is enough. Maybe this is not such a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. So peak globalization is one of the big trends of the 2020s. It's going to stop or it's going to slow down. The second trend is recession. This is from Bank of America. It says, quote, "The economic picture entering the next decade isn't exactly rosy. Stocks may be hovering around all-time highs, but a record 90% of recipients in the Bank of America Global Fund Manager survey said the world's economy is late in the bloom cycle." Or I'm sorry, late in the boom cycle. It says, quote, "We leave the 2010s stuck in an economic regime characterized by low growth and low inflation. Real GDP has averaged just 2% in the U.S., 1% in the EU and Japan, and halved from 12% to 6% in China as it rebalances towards a consumer rather than export-led economy." So, you know, all this talk about the economy, this is to me why when I hear Donald Trump and his pitch for 2020 is the economy, and I hear boomers and I hear other conservatives talking about the economy and having a pro-business environment and all this kind of stuff, it's ridiculous. Because when you look at the global trends, economically, culturally, what's happening with globalization, what we just talked about a moment ago, the long-term forecast is bad. It's not even like less good. It's not even cyclically downturn, you know, something like that. It's bad. The long-term forecast for the world economy is a big frowny face. It is a downward red arrow. It is a picture of a graph, a line graph going this way. It is red and is going this way. That's the future for the rest of our lifetime. And, you know, it will be cyclical to some extent, but the long-term trend is this way. And just take a look around. How about debt, right? The world is sitting on the biggest debt bubble in human history. America's got $20 trillion in debt, a little bit more now. China has a 200%, I think it's like 230% now, 200% debt to GDP ratio. Japan is approaching that. Nearly every country in Europe has a close to the same or higher than a 100% debt to GDP ratio. It's not sustainable. You look at growth, you know, as I just read out from Bank of America, you've got 1% average in the EU and Japan, 2% average in the United States. And China, the new big player, which was growing at 20% or high teens in the 90s and early 2000s, has been halved in the past 5 years from 12% to 6%. So the future is not really looking good for that. We're going to have to change the way we think about the economy. The era of Ronald Reagan, cheap credit, low interest rates. You know, it says at some point in this report that, you know, 4,000-year-old low interest rates, 4,000-year-old interest rates, low interest rates are going to come to an end eventually. And what is the economy going to look like then when all the cheap credit dries up and all the easy gains dry up? That's what we're talking about. So this kind of Ronald Reagan 2.0 idea that Donald Trump will make the economy prosperous and that'll be a bandage on everything else, not something to count on, at least not in the next decade. The next trend is demographics. And it's interesting, in this Bank of America report, it focuses almost exclusively on age, talking about how different generations in the age pyramid are going to be changing in structure, you know. For example, that the population will be older. You have an inverted, what is it, population pyramid that, you know, there'll be a lot less young people than there are old people. Whereas maybe 100 years ago, you had a very small amount of old people, and it gradually crescendoed into a lot more young people. Now it's inverted, and you've got massive amounts of old people at the top and virtually no young people, relatively speaking. Relative to human history, not like there's no young people, but you understand. So they focus more on this than on race, ethnicity, religion, that kind of thing, which I found interesting. But this is from the report. It says in the 2020s, we'll have more grandparents than grandchildren, more people over 65 than people under 5. Japan isn't the oldest country on the planet. It's China because of its one-child policy, which has since been abolished. In this decade, close to 800 million people will join the silver or over 65 economy. It will pressure pension systems worldwide. In the Western world, life expectancy is rising. The financial system will see massive challenges. Today, the total pension deficit is $24 trillion. For every year that life expectancy goes up, that number goes up by $1 trillion. The job market, services, medical, healthcare will have to adjust, especially in the U.S. The silver economy still holds more than 50% of the spending dollars. However, the silver people over 65 only do 10% of the spending. Who are the winners? The winners are the cruise line industry, experience economy, home renovation, healthcare, retirement communities, and life insurance. So they focus specifically on age. I'll talk a little bit more about race and ethnicity later on in the show, but we're talking about how the generational pyramid is going upside down, and this brings severe economic challenges, you know, because obviously over 65 people can't really work. I mean, they can in some capacity, but they can't be doing things that are physically intensive. In some cases, they can't do things that are mentally intensive. In some cases, they can't go to work at all. They're stuck in their homes, whatever, if you're talking about people that are really up there in age, depending on who you're talking about. And the question is, how do you support a population, essentially, of dependents? People that are going to be 65 and retired, and they'll be living another 35 years in many cases. If life expectancy is 77, 78, then you're going to have a good amount of people that are living into their 80s, 90s, some into their 100s. And what do you do about them? How do you fund that? Especially when the population pyramid is inverted. 100 years ago, if life expectancy was rising and it began to rise, it wasn't a big problem because you had a constant source and supply of new labor. And an expanding labor pool is more critical, is how it's changing dynamic, how it was changing dynamically, relationally, how the generations were in terms of their size. So it wasn't so much important that you constantly had young people. You always had young people, but that relative to the old people, there were lots of young people, you know? So in order to keep that going, if you have a lot of young people 100 years ago, well, you're going to have a lot of old people later on. So you need even more young people in the next generations to support that. That didn't happen. Obviously, the trend reversed. And so now you've got a lot of old people and increasingly less young people to then do the work and make the money to support them in middle age and to some extent younger people. So that's going to put economic stresses and also social stresses on the society globally, not just in America, but in Asia as well, in Europe. The fifth trend is climate change. You know, climate change is pretty self-explanatory. I guess the world's getting hotter. Actually, I missed one here. The third one, which I missed, was quantitative failure. It says the era of 5,000-year low interest rates will come to an end within the next decade. It says in the coming years, a policy mistake, inflation targeting, modern monetary theory, and or the start of policy impotence, which, for example, might be central banks pushing on a string, will likely cause a jump in interest rate volatility. And the decade-long bullish combo of minimum rates and maximum profits and signal the big top in asset prices. The big top in asset prices, which means that the economy, like I said, is headed for just a downward spiral for the next foreseeable so many decades. So we've looked at the first five trends, which are recession, quantitative failure, which means monetary failure, the failure of money, demographic change, which is going to be catastrophic, climate change, I'm sorry, is that only four? And then the fifth one is robotics and automation. You can probably see how that's going. So we look at the first five trends, and we're looking at a decade and a world that's going to be probably getting worse and not better, right? If we're talking about recession, quantitative failure, this catastrophic demographic change, climate change, you know, robotics and automation to a lesser extent, that one's a little bit more complicated. If four out of the five are sort of unambiguously concerning, I would say that robotics and automation, don't get me wrong, that's obviously concerning. That's obviously something that's going to cause disruption. You know, you're going to have technological unemployment, 70 million people out of work in the next 40 years, something like that. The numbers aren't fresh in my head, but it's going to cause unemployment, disruption, widespread changes to the economy, to our way of life. So all of these five are, at the bare minimum, disruptive. Four out of the five are unambiguously bad. I mean, unambiguously concerning. You know, something that you're going to be anxious about. Are you getting an idea of where we're headed in the 2020s? Maybe we're seeing a little bit of a redux. Maybe it's harkening back to the other 20s, right? We're seeing economic catastrophe. I think that much is obvious. And social disruption. I'm reading these five trends, and that's what I see is basically economic catastrophe, an end, a long-term end to good times. You know, I'm not talking about a recession, but we're talking about the culmination, an end in a greater cycle to the good times of the last 200 years. that we're going to see stagnation, decline, a receding of economic growth, something like that, receding of abundance, of gains made, of wealth, deterioration of wealth. We're going to see social disruption in the form of degenerations, in the form of tribal conflict, in the form of rapid changes to our way of life, technologically and otherwise. And then through climate change, we're going to see people getting uncomfortable. You know, climate change is going to facilitate both of those trends, economic catastrophe and also social disruption. Obviously, the two basically go hand in hand, but climate change is going to destroy a lot of property. And by the way, I should clarify, I don't really believe in like man-made climate change. I don't believe, for example, that like people can do much to reverse climate change or change it. I think the climate just simply is changing, and it could have bad effects. It could have catastrophic effects. We don't really know the extent of it, but I think we can all agree that, you know, climate trends are changing to some extent. I'm not a climate scientist, but I think that much is pretty much unavoidable at this point. Whether or not we're contributing mostly to that or even at all is another debate, but is the climate changing? The answer is perhaps, you know, so all this is to say, you've got tremendous social disruption and economic catastrophe, and it's getting hotter, you know, and it's getting, and physically it's getting warmer, and physically people are becoming uncomfortable. What do you think the atmosphere, I'm not talking about the physical atmosphere, but I'm talking about the political climate of the country will be when people are poor, it's an infinite recession, the money is worth nothing, old people will not be supported, they'll be living on peanuts, there's not a lot of young people. Robots are replacing our jobs. Oh, and it's physically more uncomfortable. And it's hotter. You'll be sweating all the time, constantly dabbing your forehead with a cloth, making you perhaps more agitated. Do you sort of see what I'm getting at here? Where are we headed in the 2020s? It's not a great picture. Those are the first five trends. The other five trends are a little bit more interesting. So trend number six, have I numbered these right? I think I have, yeah, peak globalization, recession, failure, demographics, climate change. Oh, I'm sorry, that was five. Which one did I miss? Peak globalization, that's why. Okay, so I rushed. So I said, oh no, I think I missed one. I didn't count peak globalization, but you get the picture. So I guess actually the sixth one would be robotics and automation. Like I said, that much is self-explanatory. More robots, they're going to have a bigger role in our lives. More jobs will be automated. You know, this stuff like climate change is pretty much self-explanatory. You've got the splinter net. This is trend number seven. This one's a little bit more confusing. It says, we believe the current trade war will transition towards a tech war in the 2020s, which will see a new arms race between the U.S. and China to reach national superiority in technology over the long term, vis-a-vis quantum computing, big data, 5G, artificial intelligence, electric vehicles, robotics, and cybersecurity. It says Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, which are, I think, Asian companies, will be primed to take advantage of the AI revolution at the expense of the so-called FANG stocks, which is an acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Alphabet, which is the parent of Google. So that's how you get the FANG acronym. It says just over half the population is connected in China, but that is nearly triple the number of internet users in the U.S., suggesting China's annual mobile data traffic could grow 56% compared with 35% in the U.S. With favorable policies and government backing, China's technology companies are likely to be better placed to take advantage of these data trends, the firm said. Robotics and automation are another key theme, which we just went over. And so the splinternet, what that means is that basically technology and the internet in particular will diverge between the United States and China, that the United States will have its own internet, China will have its own internet. Maybe other countries will have their own internets with their own protocols, their own rules, their own technology, their own backing, obviously, by governments and regulation by governments. Subsequently, there'll be tremendous variation within the particular technologies, like I just said, with 5G, quantum computing, AI, data, all these things. So a total split in the internet. Since the internet was invented, or since it came around, it's obviously been dominated by the United States. There's the internet, and it's led by America. So they say that in the 2020s, we'll have many internets, or maybe two internets, one perhaps run by America, maybe one run by China, other sort of domestic internets. And that does exist to some extent now. Trust me, I'm no expert in all of this. This is what Bank of America says. So in before somebody gets in the comments or live chat and says, oh, well, actually, this is Bank of America talking, not Nick. You know, to me, the internet is I turn on my computer and, okay, and I'm online, okay? I don't know what the internet is, but this is what Bank of America says. It says that the internet is splitting. You'll have sort of your own proprietary self-contained internets in different countries. Like I said, I believe to some extent this is more or less true in some capacity that obviously if you go to China, some sites are restricted. If you go to like Iran, they don't let you go to Facebook or Twitter, right? So to some extent, you do already have these domestic changes in the internet rules and things like that, but you have your own self-contained internet in China. On a technical level, I can't really explain it much better than that, but you know, that's something. That's sort of something interesting that's happening. That is good enough for our purposes on this show. Number eight is you've got moral capitalism. They say that capitalism, and I just have to laugh, they say that capitalism will go from profit maximizing to something that is more based on altruism or like Millennium Development Goals. That now instead of firms and the private sector being geared towards maximizing their profits, instead they'll be thinking about like the environment and the well-being of their workers. Yeah, don't hold your breath for that one, right? You know, I'm not even going to spend too much time on that because it's like so absurd and ridiculous. I fully expect that, George Soros and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these people that are like on adrenochrome, they're like hooked up to tubes, they've like cloned themselves. We don't even know, you know, that they have done unnatural things to prolong their lives. I fully believe that these literal vampires are suddenly in the next decade going to say, you know what, we ought to start taking care of the planet. Please, please, forget about the environment. They're sucking us dry. They're sucking us dry. You can go and sell your plasma for $50. You get hooked up to a machine and they extract your precious bodily fluids and they give you $50. I see homeless people lined up around the block to sell their plasma on the free market. So I'm not holding my breath waiting for Bob Iger and you know, all these other trans-dimensional vampires to suddenly turn around and say, what if we were just nice guys? What if we were just the good guys instead? Yeah, okay, please. Okay, but back to the serious predictions, right? So Bank of America says moral capitalism, the private sector will now be concerned with the well-being of people and not profits. I'm sure about that. That's why Bill Gates is like injecting AIDS. No, that's, can't say that. That's fake news because, you know, the YouTube will punish me if I engage in too much conspiracy theorizing. So for the sake of community guidelines, I'll say that all of that was a joke, right? All of that was a joke. Adrenochrome, blood Passover, don't look into it. It's a conspiracy theory. So moral capitalism, sure. Number nine is smart everything. It says there will be 500 billion connectable smart devices by the end of the decade. By 2025, we'll connect with an online device every 18 seconds or 4,800 times a day. Next year, there will be more smart speakers than humans. Today, global data are multiplying itself every 2 to 3 years. We're using only 1% of it. The remaining 99% isn't stored or analyzed. We finally have the tools to start analyzing it. Big data analytics, AI, machine learning, deep learning, smart algorithms. So this is pretty terrifying. What smart everything means, and Boris Johnson actually gave a speech about this, I think it was this year, like a month ago at the UN General Assembly. Everybody made fun of him for this, but Boris Johnson gave a speech about how your bed is going to know about your dreams and your refrigerator is going to know that you need more cheese before you open the refrigerator door. And people are watching the speech, Boris Johnson speaking at the UN, and they're thinking, what is this guy talking about? You could see in the audience, people are like laughing at him. People usually go up and give speeches about like, you know, Iran or like nuclear weapons or whatever. But he was right on the money. What he's talking about is, this is talked about a lot in blockchain circles too, by the way, about the smart economy or smart technology, the idea that technology will be integrated into everything. Computers in particular will be integrated into every aspect of our lives. you know, now we think about there's technology and there's like non-technology, obviously, right? You've got your phone, you've got your computer, you know, you've got your devices that have computers in them, and increasingly almost every electric device has computers in them. The transition will be that everything will have computers in them. You know, already our cars have computers in them. Our refrigerators have computers in them. Our, you know, our sink thermostat. Like, we have a lot of smart devices. In the future, it'll be in clothes, in your bed, in your, you know, in everything. And it'll all be connected. Everything will all be connected and interfacing in a very integrated sort of a way. So that, you know, right now you've got, like, your phone and your computer, and it's like a pain in the ass to sync your iTunes library to your phone. You still can't figure that out, right? Kind of a boomer joke, but it's true. You still can't, it's not as simple as plugging in the USB port and plugging in your iPhone, and then it's like, I gotta sync my phone. Is that gonna delete everything? Do I have to create a backup? Whatever. But they're saying that in the 2020s, increasingly and on in the future, all the technologies will have computers in them. Everything will have computers in them. And not only will they all have computers, but then they'll all be communicating with each other on the blockchain or in the cloud or using the internet. They'll all be interfacing, constantly sharing information, sharing data, using artificial intelligence, using algorithms. You know, so right now, in some sense, you do have smart technologies that are permeating every aspect. Like I said already, you could see it in the thermostat, the car, your refrigerator in some sense. But increasingly, they'll all then be communicating to create this totally new experience. So that's coming. And then lastly, it says space. Space is the biggest trend. When is space not a trend? I don't really foresee huge advances. It's like space travel's been around. I don't even know if it's real, but allegedly space travel's been around for the past 70 years or something like that. And what has really happened in the last like 50 years? It's like we landed on the moon and like we won the game and then we took our ball and we went home. Like what really has happened new in space? But it says Bank of America predicts that the space industry could be worth $1 trillion by 2030 with aerospace and defense companies set to reap the rewards. It says new technology such as reusable rockets, innovative speedy private companies, miniaturization of electronics, and new services like internet from space, space tourism could revolutionize space like never before. That's another one where it's like, you know, we'll see. A lot of these are sort of like broadly forward-thinking. Space, robotics, smart everything, climate change. A lot of these are like broadly looking into the future. The 2010s, rather the 2020s, are like the next iteration of what we're seeing. By no means will it be the culmination of like the destruction of money and the frontier of space and things like that. But obviously you have more to expect in the future, in the short term, in the next 10 years. What I see is a little bit different. The broad strokes are basically correct, but what I see is more pressing are not so much having to do with technology or even globally, but what's happening in America and specifically on a political level. What I see happening is that liberalism, democracy, market capitalism are all going down. I think that's all going down in the 2020s. If it doesn't completely disappear, I don't think these things happen overnight, but if it doesn't completely disappear, or the trend is reversed, I think it definitely will stop and begin to stall and stagnate, that criticisms of these systems will reach epic proportions like we haven't seen before. You know, I think this is most exemplified by China. China is the big story of the 21st century. I don't think in the way that everybody thinks it will be. You know, people are saying that China will overtake us in a big way and they'll be the new superpower and we'll all be speaking Chinese. Not necessarily like that. When I say that China is the story of the 21st century, what I mean by that is that obviously world history is really like European history. Nobody likes to say that, but it's true. You know, the history of the world is that, well, first we built the pyramids, and it was us. We built the pyramids. We were the Greeks. We were the Romans. You know, Jesus Christ came to us. We were the Christians. We had the Renaissance. We discovered the world. We had the Industrial Revolution. We colonized the world. You know, so the history of the world is European history. And for the last 100 years, this is like another iteration of globalization. We've really always had globalization to some extent, but never before have we had it, like in the last 200 years in particular with colonialism. I'm talking about like, you know, European, these colonial races in Africa, scramble for Africa, Asia, colonizing the Americas, things like this. I know it really started in like 1500, but I'm talking about the modern iteration of mapping the whole world, colonizing every country, that kind of thing. The question has become, how do other countries match Europe? How do other countries achieve the level of wealth, development, civilization as Europe? That's really been the question of the last 100 to 200 years with decolonization and these kinds of things. And there's been many answers about this. Sam Huntington wrote about a few of the options in Clash of Civilizations and what we can expect in the 21st century. He wrote about this in the 1990s. You had a few varying theories about this. The main one came from, you may remember, Kemal Ataturk, who he led this Turkish revolt in 1926 to end the Ottoman Empire, and they created the Republic of Turkey. And what he thought was that in order for Asian and third world countries, for lack of a better word, non-European countries, for them to match Western achievement, they had to become Western. In order for them to have Western standards of living and Western quality of life, they had to become Western. And so that's why you saw the implementation, for example, of Western dress and secular government and Western republicanism and Western parliamentary type stuff. And that was the prevailing theory for a long time. And I think this was the prevailing ideology implicitly throughout the Cold War, was that if you want to become like the States, if you want to have wealth and everything, well, you have to embrace free market capitalism, liberalism, democracy. You have to embrace the West. China is the answer to all of that. China is a country that has rapidly industrialized, rapidly become a 21st century country. You know, in a lot of ways, it still is somewhat backwards, but they're competing with America in this century on the level of AI, robotics, technology, defense weapons, things like that. And they did it without becoming Western, in, you know, cosmetic ways, without embracing liberalism, without embracing democracy, and also without embracing free market capitalism. Here's a country that, in a very authoritarian, traditional way, guided the transition from a rural, agrarian, poor country to a 21st century country that can compete with the West, and perhaps in the future challenge the West, challenge America. And so the future, to me, based on that example, and based on what we're seeing in Europe and in the Americas, with globalization being rolled back, is a return to tradition. You know, people are going to say, well, is it necessary that we embrace globalization and all these other trends that come with it in order to become rich? Because if they're rejecting globalization, they're rejecting who were the globalizers. What are the globalizing forces? Well, it's democracy. It's liberalism. It's capitalism. Those were the powers that pushed it. It was the victors of the Cold War. It was NATO, it was the United States that after the Cold War pushed this ideology through the United Nations, if not explicitly, implicitly, the promotion of open markets, free trade, free elections, all this crap. And as people are rejecting globalization, they're realizing, hey, wait a second, globalization has plundered our country. It's turned us into debt slaves of the IMF. In America and in Europe, realizing, hey, globalization's turned us into these third world shitholes. It's destroyed our manufacturing. It's destroyed our national identity. As they reject globalism, I think, too, they will reject the ideologies that brought it about, which are the aforementioned ones, liberalism, democracy, and capitalism. People say, hey, what's so good about democracy anyway? What's so good about capitalism anyway? What's so good about liberalism? We could see that there is certainly a trade-off for all these things. And you can look at models not just in China, but in Turkey, in Russia, in Hungary, in other countries, where you could see that an authoritarian government with a strong national character, not an ideological commitment to markets or liberalism, they're able to have actually on the overall scale, if you look at the bigger picture, they're able to have a more healthy country. You know, I think Russia in a lot of ways is in a better position than America. You know, it has to take a sort of big picture, and there's a lot of variables, but in certain metrics, you could say that which country will really survive in a meaningful way. Will it be Russia? Will it be Hungary? Or will it be like France? Will it be the United Kingdom? Will it be the United States? In the United States, the founding stock of the country is dwindling as a percentage of the population. In Russia, it looks like their traditional institutions are growing stronger. At least that's a trajectory. So I think that for me, the 2020s, if we're not talking about just like oh, the future? Robots. You know, if we're talking about the 2020s, to me, the imminent trend is the rejection or the skepticism or criticism of these traditional sort of Western ideas, liberalism, democracy, capitalism, certainly in Europe and the United States, but globally as well. Tech is obviously going to be a big thing, but I'm not just going to say blanketly, oh, like robots, you know, AI. We don't really know how that development will unfold. Think about like the 2010s. The big trend of the 2010s was like phones, smartphones, and social media, which I don't think anybody would have predicted in the 2000s. Maybe there were some people, but I think you'd be hard-pressed in like 2005 or 2009 to think that like social media would become as ubiquitous as it is, that smartphones would transform our way of life in as much as they have. You know, we look at something like Uber or all kinds of other apps which are not like physical improvements. It's not like the 20th century where you're inventing washing machines and planes and trains and automobiles and things like that. But a lot of the software-based things, the cloud, how we relate to one another has been revolutionized in the past 10 years. I don't think people could have predicted the qualitative ways in which technology changed our lives. It's similar in the 2020s. We can say in broad strokes like big data, surveillance, smart technology, the cloud, that kind of thing will change us. In what ways, it's more uncertain. To me, the big question is about autonomy. It's about human autonomy. In the 2020s, the ethical question will begin to arise. How free are we really in industrial technological society? Because, you know, one of the big things that's coming in the next decade is self-driving cars. And the question becomes, if you don't even drive your own car, are you really a free person? You know, if you, in some sense, can't even control your car, maybe it can be hacked by the government or hacked by somebody else. You know, to me, the automobile is like a symbol of American autonomy, freedom of movement, you know, that you can travel anywhere, anytime. It's self-contained. The automobile represents wealth, you know, so it's sort of like economic autonomy. It costs a little bit of money, but you have it, and then you can go anywhere with it. Well, what happens when technology is behind the wheel? Now, of course, you can still manually drive your car, but it does say something about this transition of human autonomy and human action to increasingly the role of technology. So you've got that. You've got smart cities where you'll have surveillance. You've got the smart country. You'll have mass surveillance, big data. You know, these massive companies and the government probably know more about you than you know about yourself. And what is that going to be like? You know, in the 20th century, they might be able to tap your phones. Well, that's simple enough. Don't say anything incriminating. Now you can't even think anything incriminating because it'll show up in your analytics. It'll show up in your data. It'll show up in your Google search trends. It'll show up in your location data. It'll show up in your consumer shopping habits. It'll show up if you're driving down the highway in your iPass. It'll show up in what you order or what you buy with a credit card or a debit card. You know, so the question becomes, what is the role of the individual or the autonomous self or the family in a technological society? And what is the role of the state? What is the role of these giant companies that have big data? It's a question on an individual level, but also on a larger scale. As technology becomes more integrated, that line will blur more. You know, now it's sort of invisible, the effect. Like, so what happens now is, if I say something and my microphone picks it up on my phone, right, or if I Google a certain thing, well, I'll get a recommended advertisement. And that's like relatively benign, right? Like if I tell my parents like, oh, I'm going to go to McDonald's, I love McDonald's, and then I get a targeted advertisement on Twitter that says buy McDonald's, right? Or if I'm on Amazon and I'm looking at Star Wars action figures and then I see a 30-second trailer for Rise of Skywalker before I watch you know, Plinkett's review of Star Wars 9, well, that's relatively benign. But in the future, they're talking about technology that's integrated into your brain. It's called neurotechnology, where you directly interface with the technology with your brain. Well, where do you draw the line then if it's reading your thoughts? You know, Facebook is investing in technologies that will read your thoughts. So where do you draw the line at that point? And when technology is so integrated, it's in your fridge, it's in your car, it's in your clothes, your bed, your thermostat, your house, cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere, drones everywhere, surveillance at all times, you know, then how benign is it really? Then it's not an advertisement. What is the outcome of that ultimately? So to me, I see that. I also see economic collapse in the 2020s. You know, maybe not the big collapse, but certainly a recession, and it will be the beginning of the end of the boom Reagan economy. And then lastly is ethnic conflict. Why is nobody talking about this? I read a report in the census about the 2020s from 2014. And it says, immigration will contribute to America's changing demographic landscape, but the numbers show that the diversity explosion is going to happen regardless of what happens with immigration. Simple demographic rules apply. Aging populations shrink, young populations grow. The age profile of the white population in the United States is similar to the aging and shrinking populations of Europe and Japan. The natural increase that will keep the country growing comes, for the most part, from the country's relatively youthful Hispanic populations. So the country in 2030, by the end of this decade, by the end of the 2020s, will be 55% white, something like 7% Asian, 13% black, and over 20% Hispanic. That will be the new profile of the country by the end of the 2020s, is nearly 50% white, 55% white by the end of the decade. And that's barring, you know, big immigration, that's barring a rapid increase in legal or illegal immigration. To me, I see the future as ethnic conflict. I see more polarization. This is not like a really fresh or hot take, but it's true along political lines, ethnic lines, racial, religious lines. The country will further fragment. This identity politics stuff will get worse. It'll become more incendiary. And all of this is to say, what is the picture going to look like in the 2020s? What will it look like by the end of the 2020s? In other words, what will it look like in the 2030s after the 20s have ended? What will the 30s look like after the 20s have ended? Well, what I see is economic catastrophe, like I said, social disruption. I see a lot of factors that will make people more uncomfortable. And I see conflict in the future, either internally or externally. What will this produce in the 2030s? To me, it is all good for America first. It might be bad for the country, but it is good for us. I'm reading about all these trends, and to me, it's just like delicious. I'm just eating this stuff up. And don't get me wrong, I don't like human suffering. I don't like that people are going to have a bad time, but I also see that the chickens are coming home to roost. And what goes up must come down. You know, these are all sort of, facile idioms. But it's true. What has gone on for the past 300 years cannot continue. We're approaching the end of the road. And now it's like, it's always been unsustainable, but now it's going to start to hurt. You know, when things become unsustainable, you can keep the charade going for a little bit, but eventually the bottom gives out and you know, you don't have what you think you have. All this wealth, for example, that we've created isn't there. How have we subsidized all this so-called wealth and abundance and access that we have? Well, it's through fiat money, fake money that was printed, debt, cheap credit. It's not real. The wealth is illusory. These numbers, the growth, it's made up. And so we can pretend that it's going on for a long time, but eventually the resources dry up and eventually economic reality hits in and eventually the wealth will begin to dissipate and people will have less of it. And when people start to have less instead of more, well, the attitudes will change. The same is true of social disruption. You know, you could avoid it for so long. You could avoid mass immigration. What's the solution for mass immigration? Changing demographics. Just move out, right? Move into a different neighborhood. Avoid it. Go somewhere else. Largely, the country is still segregated. Well, what happens when you can no longer self-segregate? What will happen when the country's demographics will change in every neighborhood? Well, conflict will be forced, right? And the kinds of things we've been talking about and people before me have been talking about for much longer will be unavoidable. And that's what we're talking about, is sort of the rubber meeting the road, the end of this unsustainable project where, at the bare minimum, people have to sort of interface with what we have created, the disruption, the chaos that has been unleashed by liberalism, democracy, market capitalism, globalism, if you want to call it one thing. And so to me, I see the 2020s as a period where we are going to gain. A lot of people might look at the Groyper Wars and they will say, well, the Groypers are like racist or something. The Groypers are racist. Nick Fuentes is racist. He said bad things. They have no future. He has no future. There's no future for paleoconservatism. There's no future for traditional Catholicism. There's no future for national conservatism, anything like that, because all the money and all the clout and all the power is in the hands of neoliberals, neocons, the usual suspects. It's a very limited and narrow-minded view of the situation. If you take a much more broad look at what's happening, if you look at the bigger picture, the trends favor us because we are right. Because we are right about the way of the world and about the way of people. And so that because things are changing, because the effects will be bad, well, naturally, people will see these problems and they'll be looking for answers. They will feel these problems and this prosperity doctrine of Ronald Reagan will not have sufficient answers. It won't even be able to adequately describe the problems. You know, people will be looking at a society where they're constantly surveilled, they're questioning their individual autonomy, they're nihilistic, there's no meaning anymore, the family's destroyed, ethnic conflict is pervasive, social disruption is the norm, and they will be looking for something to ground themselves in, and they're not going to find it in low taxes. They're not going to find it in this civic nationalist ideology that all we need to do is salute the flag, whatever, stand up for the anthem, and we're all going to bleed red, white, and blue. That's not going to be enough. It's not even going to adequately describe the problems. The problem is not going to be socialism. It's going to be a lot of these other pervasive things, systemic changes happening in the society. So to me, I look at it the 2020s and I say it's going to be hard, it's going to be rough, but it's going to be an era of great opportunity. The world will be in crisis. That will be an opportunity for good people to rise up and create a better world. Hopefully, we can stave off 1,000 years of darkness. That's kind of how I see, maybe if not the 2020s, the next 20 years, right? Or the next 30 years. And I look at the 2010s, sort of thinking about how we will be informed, and that sort of informs how we think about the 2020s. What defined the 2010s? It was smartphones, it was social media, it was Barack Obama, identity politics, the rise of the LGBTQ agenda, it was the rise of, it was the recession, it was Middle Eastern wars. In many ways, the 2010s was a rough decade, and it produced Donald Trump. In the same way that the 2010s produced Donald Trump, the 2020s could produce something else. I don't know what it's going to produce, I don't know who it will produce, what that will look like, but that's another way of thinking about it. If the 2010s were a rough decade where we saw more globalism, globalism entrenching itself further, taking advantage and really transforming the society at a fundamental level, socially, demographically, politically, and so on, if these changes carry on in the 2020s, perhaps the reaction will be commensurate to the change. So if things change more dramatically and in the same direction, what will come after Trump? That's what we have to be thinking about. So I think for the 2020s, if this is the last show of the 2010s, my prediction is that the 2020s will be the decade of America First. It will be the decade of populism, tribalism, nationalism, traditionalism. It will be the decade of a return. The past is our future. The past is our future in the 2020s and the 2030s. I think that is the case. These globalization, progressivism, liberalism, these things have long since passed their expiration date and people are getting tired of them. That's what I see. So, and all these other factors are not going to help that. Recession, the collapse of money, environmental change, that is only going to facilitate the social disruptions that I think are yet to come, brought about by technology and demographic change in the 2020s. So that's my prediction. In a way, it's sort of a neutral take, in some sense blackpilling, but it is redeeming. There is a white pill at the end of the tunnel. There is a white pill at the end of the black pill tunnel. So we have that to look forward to. But we're going to dive into our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. What you think about my predictions, or what you think about these Bank of America predictions. I think mine is basically a safe prediction. I think I'm basically correct here. I think that, who knows where we'll be in 2030. It's interesting to think about where we'll be in 10 years from now. Where will I be? Will I still be doing this show? Will I still be reading Super Chats? What's going to happen? Will I even be alive? Will Mossad have killed me? I have no idea where we'll be. How will we look back on this show? How will it stand the test of time? Will you be watching this from a quantum computer? Will you be watching this from some kind of holocron projector? Will you be watching this inside of a drone? Will they have Wi-Fi on airplanes for free? Maybe you'll be watching this. I don't know. It really is interesting to think about what will happen in the next 10 years, but I think a lot of it is playing into our hands. I think we've been very smart. We, and me, I think I've been very smart, and we've been very smart about looking at the bigger picture and sort of orienting ourselves based on that as opposed to the short run things. But we're going to dive in, like I said. We'll see what the super chatters are saying about all this. That's the final monologue of the 2010s. And in some sense, it's a little arbitrary, but also, you know, it's a big deal. That's the last monologue of the 2010s. Mr. Corgi says, anyone else down for a Cruz Rubio ticket to save America? Okay. R.A. says, friend, R.A., what do you want in the new decade? Me. Visions of nukes flying, Yellowstone erupting, meteor striking Earth flash before my eyes. Oh, nothing. Maybe some fun games. How about you, Nick? What do you want? What do I want in the 2020s? I want a decent Star Wars trilogy, okay? I have it on my brain. I don't know if you could tell, but this week has just been like Star Wars brain. I can't help it. I know it's like Reddit at this point, but I can't help it. I love Star Wars so much. I want a decent fourth trilogy. I don't know if I'm going to get it from Star Wars. I want more games, more fun games. I want more products. Look, people make fun of that. Ooh, consume product, get excited for next product. I think that meme's like spirit. It's directionally correct, but I don't think it's executed well. I don't think it's a good meme, but I think directionally it's on the money. But I also love products. I love my products. I like media. I like products, okay? Sue me! Kill me, all right? I like to watch Star Wars. It's a dark place. It's a dark time we live in. Let me go and enjoy a movie. Let me go and nerd out over Avengers, okay? I'm not gonna buy the Funko Pop figurines, but I am gonna discreetly go to the Thursday 9 o'clock showing of the movie. It's not a big deal. So in a way, I'm excited for, you know, new, more realistic video games and VR and you know, movies and things like that. I want to start a family, you know, in the 2020s. That's probably gonna be in the cards for me. A wife, but kids, but a son, a future, the next generation of America First. I don't want to get too much into personal goals. Don't want to spoil anything for what's to come in the immediate next year or next couple of months. But some big changes coming to the show, things like that. What else in the 2020s? I want to see more nationalism, obviously, more of what we've been doing. I want to see us be able to carve out a space on the internet, whether that's on the big social media companies or somewhere else. Maybe blockchain takes over. I want to see more solutions. You know, all these technologies kind of like solve nothing. Oh, taxis, but it's more convenient. How about getting rid of like dental procedures, invasive dental procedures? How about, you know, to me, it's like so many things. We have so many problems that seem to me like they should have been solved a long time ago, but they just haven't. You know, like scientists are working on making these weird, like artificial materials, and they're not like working on solving everyday problems. Like I don't want to get my wisdom teeth pulled out, you know, or like, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Like a lot of like practical everyday problems. Can't they make like a better alarm clock? Can't they do, I don't know. I mean, can't they just figure it out? It seems to me like there's a lot. Can't they figure out how to make food abundant without being poisonous? Like, there should be like things that are practical for people. I want to see practical technological improvements. Maybe those are bad examples, but you get what I'm talking about. Mr. Corgi says, grew out of my cringe Daily Wire phase when they sent me that leftist tears tumbler and it said made in China on the bottom. Who would have ever guessed Benji would go cheap? Well, hey, let's take it easy. I mean, look, that's the way it is. So, I don't know, man. Made in China. That doesn't bother me very much, actually. It's more of the shilling for wars for Israel. Cosmic Craft with a big super chat. Thanks a lot. Citizens has used the money to enjoy a plain hot dog and walnut sauce. I don't know what the, what is the walnut sauce meme? I feel like I heard it. Oh, is that the Pizzagate thing? Maybe. Wasn't that one of the emails in, John Podesta, right? Is that right? I feel like that's what it is. Rob Smith says, what's going on, Nick? I know you get some hate for being a black conservative. I do as well. Stand strong. Keep fighting. We need you out there. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rob. Mark says, that poopy femoid that was in your face when you confronted Shapiro is a future libertarian, or I'm sorry, librarian cat lady. Yeah, she's actually a mutual friend. We've got mutual friends, and let's just say it's just kind of funny. There's some funny, I can't say too much, but there's some funny backstory. Yeah, a little pot-bellied goblin, chubby little wench. And what does she say? She's like, you're an, I love if you watch the video. She's like, you're like not even important. And like, as she's telling me I'm not important, I've just like totally pivoted. I'm talking to the crowd like, yeah, bye. Ignored. So I thought that was kind of, if you go back and watch, it's kind of funny. Gropper says, and base question of the year goes to drumroll. How does anal sex help us win the culture war? Yeah, that was a pretty good one. Senseless says, boomer noises. Bob says, hello. Hey. Simon Scola says, what a crazy year. It was great to see you and everyone at GLS. I still can't believe we had 500 people there. Well, hey, I said we can't disclose how many people are there, but yeah, it was great to see you, big guy. Great to see you again. Simon Scola, one of our longtime fans, one of our favorite friends of the show, I would say. But yeah, it was great to see you. Portable Power says, hey, King, hope you have a fantastic new year and get lots of good wins under our belt next year. Can I get a shout out from my buddy Brexit Mike? I don't know who that is, but yeah, sure, shout out to him. Elron says, we need you to address the cringe Mrs. Nicholas J. Fuentes' Twitter account. It's clearly a guy, right? I actually have no idea. It's definitely cringe. And I feel bad saying that because probably the person's heart is in the right place, maybe. But it is kind of cringe. It is a little weird. Gonna have to counter signal. And it very well could be a guy. You never really know, right? I mean, it's like, you never really know. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, Mrs. Nicholas J. Fuentes could very be some kind of like creepy advance. So I've never seen any proof to the contrary. But, yeah, it's definitely cringe. Mister says, hey, Nick, all e-girls are hoes. Thoughts? Yeah, kind of cringe. Like, you know, this sort of just very formulaic stuff. Hey, Nick, all e-girls are hoes. Thoughts? Okay, congratulations. Here's your blue ribbon, fag. Sodomite Annihilator. You know, it's just so, like, when people constantly fall back on catchphrases, and it's just so lame. You know, at least with a meme, memes go through a life cycle where it's funny, and then they're sort of, like, ironic, or they're ironically reappropriated. Like, for example, a meme like Epic Style. I was thinking about this one today. Epic Style was when you would say, like, oh, I'm going to do this Epic Style. That was from, I don't know if you remember, but it comes from, like, owning the libs, right? Owning Ben Shapiro would own the libs. He epically annihilates libs, whatever. And so at some point, somebody created a Family Guy meme, because Family Guy's, like, cringe, and they made an impact text meme where it says, when you own the, or no, I'm sorry, it was American Dad. And it was like, when you own the libs, awesome style. And so it was sort of like a multi-level meme where it was ironically reappropriating impact text, American Dad, in on some level, and also this Ben Shapiro conservative language, when you own the libs, when you troll the libs, awesome style, something like that. So it was like a completely repackaged, ironic reappropriation of other memes. And that's why it became fresh again. That's why it was making fun of something else. It was cynical, right? As opposed to somebody falling back on an unironic catchphrase. Haha, Nick, no e-girls, right? Yeah, no e-girls. Laugh track, oh, easy laugh. Ah, because remember, no e-girls. Look, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. When I say, and by the way, you know, aside from that, it's not a joke. That was never a joke. When I go, and some people like laugh at me when I go off. They think it's funny. But it's not, it's really never a joke, okay? Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes when it's about the Cookie Monster, it's clearly a joke. But when I say no e-girls, that's not, I'm not kidding. I may be hamming it up a little bit, but it's not a joke. Women online are nothing but trouble. Everyone knows this. I've heard so many stories. I've heard so many stories, so many different ways. Oh, e-girl ghosts you. Oh, e-girl turns out to be a guy. Oh, e-girl turns out to be a race mixer. Oh, e-girl turns out to be something else. You know, oh, e-girl's like cheating on you. I've heard it all. E-girl's a fed. E-girl's this. She's that. I've heard it. She's bipolar. She's going to stab you to death. You know, you got to call the cops. Take away in an ambulance. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've seen it all. It's been 3 years. I've seen dozens of examples in every different way. And they all fail men. They all fail the kings. And when I say no e-girls, people are like, ha, yeah, no e-girls. Maybe this one time. But it's not a joke. At your own peril. At your own peril. At your own peril. Ignore it. Think it's a joke. Whatever. Ha ha. All e-girls are hoes. Thoughts? No. Yeah, but it's not a joke. But it's not a joke. Fuck you. It's not a catchphrase. It's not funny. Okay? It's not funny. You might be laughing right now, but it's not a joke. It's not funny. Maybe if you're laughing, it's funny because it is true that it's not a joke. But I do hate. I'm not going to name any names. But there are definitely people that do this stuff. They just constantly fall back on the same lines, the same talking point, the same thing. It's always the same. And it's like, with me, why I'm the best content creator there is because I'm actually dynamic. I'm actually thinking through these things. If I get a debate, I can kind of, freewheel a little bit. But some of these people, it's just like all the content is just falling back on the same old stuff. And I hate that. So, I wanted to say that, and you just, like, provoked it. You just reminded me of that. Anyway, Sodomite Annihilator says, will automation eliminate the need for immigration? There is no need for immigration. But in a lot of ways it will. Janine says, hey, Nick, what is your favorite movie? Favorite movie. Well, you know, it's a question of, like, what movie do I think is the best or what's, like, my favorite movie to watch? Because my favorite movie to watch would probably be a guilty pleasure like Star Wars or, I don't know, what else would be, like, a guilty pleasure? Maybe, like, I, Robot or The Cable Guy. Stupid movies like that. I just think of movies that, like, in the past 5 years or so were just always on, and I just like watching. You know what I mean? When you're, like, flipping through channels, and if a movie's on, like, you'll watch it, and they run it a lot on, like, TNT or Spike or TBS or whatever. Those, to me, are, like, my favorites, you know, those kinds of movies. Goodfellas is one, I guess. Let me think. What's a movie? Taxi Driver is probably one of my all-time favorites. But that's different than what I think it's, because some people be like, oh, you like that one, but that one's not even good. Well, that's different than what I think is like the best, but those are probably some of my favorites. I like Tombstone a lot. What else? I'm trying to think. Yeah, those would probably be some of my favorites. Star Wars, really, to me, so many times I just find myself watching it on like YouTube or whatever. Let's see. John Cardillo says, belated Merry Christmas. Hope it was a great one. Well, thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too. Austin says, the SpongeBob episode where Squidward moves to Squidville truly shows how great ethno-nationalism is. Okay, disavow. Carlos says, I hope you had a Merry Christmas, Nick. Why don't you consider Latin countries Western? They're Catholic, speak Western languages, conservative, etc. That's retarded. What a retarded question. Carlos said this, so I think we understand why. Carlos says, why are Hispanic countries not Western? Because they're not white, dude. It's that simple. Western is synonymous with European. Okay, all this stuff about Western civilization is a total, like, obfuscation about, like, European culture. I was talking about this recently with some Turning Point person. They were like, Western civilization is like free speech and gay marriage. It's like, no. They're like, Western, the peak of Western civilization is democracy and, you know, universal suffrage. Like, wrong. The peak of Western civilization is the Sistine Chapel. And it's the Notre Dame. And it's things like that. It's Mozart. It's cathedrals. It's Rembrandt. I don't know. Is that how I pronounce it? I don't know fine art. But I know that that's what it's about. It's about great philosophy. It's about great artists. You know, Western civilization is not about ideas. It's about a people. And you've had different people participate in it throughout history, some more than others. Italians, certainly more than others. But that's what it's about. So speaking Western languages, yeah, but sure, you could argue they're speaking Portuguese and Spanish, but it is different than Spanish in Spain and Portuguese in Portugal. And you could say that, you know, they're Catholic, but are they really practicing it in the same way that they're practicing it in Rome or in, you know, Spain or in France or any other country? But they are not Western in customs, mannerisms, anything like that. Oh, well, they're Western in their language. What does that mean? I mean, yeah, okay, they speak the same language as Western people. They speak French in West Africa. Is West Africa Western? Is that Western civilization? They speak Portuguese. I think, in some Asian countries. They speak English in India. Is India part of Western civilization? I don't think so. So I reject that. Oh, well, they speak the same language. Yeah, that doesn't make them the same. And they're Catholic. Well, you know, again, they're Catholic in some places in Africa. Doesn't make them part of Western civilization. They're Catholic in Asia. Doesn't make them part of, in some places, doesn't make them part of Western civilization. You know, it's distinct and it's unique. You wouldn't say, if I learned to speak Japanese, that wouldn't make me Japanese. If I learned to speak Japanese and said I practice Shinto, whatever, and I ate sushi, does that make me Japanese? No. No, it doesn't. You could, I don't know, maybe there's a bad analogy, I don't know anything about cars, but you could take the body of a Cadillac and put it on all the internal components of a, whatever, of a Prius, and it doesn't make it a Cadillac. In the same way that you can't take the people and put on, oh, well, they speak the language and on some cosmetic level, and in some places they are legitimately Catholic, but in other places it's definitely more of a cultural pagan influence there. And now they're part of Western civilization. No, I don't believe that. I think that there is something about Western civilization that is about blood, and it's about shared history and shared experience, and heroes and mythology and customs and culture. You know, tacos are not Western. I'm sorry, they're not. Okay, drug gangs, crimes, cartels, all that. That's not Western. Basically, what happens south of the border is not part of the Western tradition. It just isn't. So wrong. But you're very wrong about that. Mr. Camus says, Happy New Year, bro. Here's some from my Christmas money. Noticing that the grifters are... Excuse me. Noticing that the grifters are embracing America First mindset. I'm feeling a little under the weather today, if you can't tell. Maybe it's the chronic allergies. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Got to trust the plan. Chase says, Daryl Kane, 2024. I don't know who that is. Anon says, Baby Yeed, it's my Kafefi, Pepe Kafefi. Agent 1488 with a license to troll. The time of Yosef... Oh, God, this is just a garbage super chat. Billy May says, Hey, Nick, you ever see the red elf that hides from the really handsome, sharp-dressed men? No, I've never seen him. Forbids is a game show where Dan Crenshaw, Ben Shapiro, and Charlie Kirk have to dress up as Palestinians and live in the West Bank. Last alive moves to Gaza. Yeah, hilarious, bro. Great joke. First name, last name, says Nick Fuentes, this is Jordan Peterson, except instead of talking about lobsters and selling lobster merch, it's cookie merch instead. Meme this. Okay, just... Okay, maybe this is the last show ever. Maybe this is going to be the last show for 10 years, right? Wow, great idea. That sounds totally smart and not gimmicky and retarded. That sounds totally not gay and gimmicky and... Hey, guys, more Cookie Monster! Oh, but it's Cookie Monster! Funny time! Hello, funny time? Hey, guys, it's funny time. Cookie Monster! Laugh it up! I'm wearing Cookie Monster! It's gonna be like Benny Johnson tier. What did he say? Doing the Fortnite dance? Oh, what did he say? Cookie Monster. Punchline. Laugh at my joke. No, I will never sell out to the drooling masses. I will never do it. I am a smart person. I make content for smart people. And I will not make content for the 80%. I'll make content for the 20%. And I will disrespect the 80%. They might like it, but it's not for them. Ray Respector says, saw a weird text wall from Hunter Avalon's Instagram floating around. Is he coming out as trans? Nah, but he made this, like, block text where, what did he say? He was like, oh, I'm a conservative, but the facts have led me to believe that gender and sex are not the same thing and transgenderism's real and so on. It's like, dude, just cut the shit. Just drop the act. Like, you're not a conservative. You're a liberal. You're a liberal now. I just hate... Look, we have liberals. You can be a liberal. That's fine. But just call yourself a liberal. You've got all these people that are like, all their beliefs are liberal, but they're like, no, but I'm a conservative. Like, why? Why would you even say that? You're a liberal. It's like Kathy Zhu. Kathy Zhu, recently, she takes a political compass test, and she gets liberal. And she's like, oh, LOL, That's weird and surprising. No, it's not. You're a liberal. All your views are liberal. And we've been telling you this. All my views are liberal, and I got this on my test, but I'm actually a conservative. How? They're like, well, you know, liberalism is actually conservatism because they've got a variety of reasons. You know, or it's just not. Or you're just a liberal. Why can't you just suck it up? Liberals suck, and you're one of them. Simple as that. You think conservatism is about being regressive, tribalist, sexist, racist, all that? Like, okay, fine. Be a fucking liberal. True Seed says, hey, Nick, could you wish my buddy Andrew a happy birthday? He's a big fan of your show, and would really make his day. Also, what's your favorite Beatles song and album? Keep up the good work, fella. Well, thanks. Happy birthday to Andrew. Don't know who it is. Gotta, you know, just put that out there. But happy birthday, Andrew. Favorite Beatles song and album. I don't really know the albums well enough. Like, I don't know what songs are on what albums. When I got into the Beatles, I got into, like, iTunes. So I would just, like, download the songs from, like, the Beatles' number one album, which is, like, their anthology or different collections. So favorite song, I don't know. Tough to say. I haven't listened to the Beatles. It's not on my Spotify. I mean, I know a lot of Beatles stuff, but I haven't put it on my Spotify because I don't... You know when you like put everything in your liked songs, then you're like I have a lot of liked songs that I just listen to because they're on the top of the list. And then if I put all Beatles songs, it's like I'll just be listening to the Beatles. People that have Spotify probably know what I'm talking about. I have to scroll down like a million years just to find non-Beatles songs. So I would say, well, what are my favorite ones? Maybe I like a lot of the early stuff. It's very simple. Like, Can't Buy Me Love is like, it's just, we'll never get old. The simple ones will just never get old. But I also like, I like Something. That's a good song. I think Eric Clapton said, like, that's one of the best songs of all time. I Want You is a good one. Sort of lesser, well, I don't know if it's lesser known, but it's not like one of the hits. Well, it's not like one of the like the super well-known hits like Hello, Goodbye and Yellow Submarine and all that. But I Want You is a good one. That one sounds kind of like different. They do a lot of good covers. There's a great album called With the Beatles where they do a lot of good covers of, like, I think it was Till There Was You a cover and Wait a Minute, Mr. Postman's a cover. They got a few good covers on there. So, but I don't know. But it's been a long time. You're sort of testing my memory here. It's been a long time since I've thought Beatles. Let's see. Sick Nate says, yo, Nick, what's the deal with evangelicals in Israel? Do we have an obligation to preserve historic biblical sites? Love you, dude. We do, but it has nothing to do with, like, foreign aid. Jew says, Jewish law number one, if you can get your adversaries to choose between you or a worse option, although reluctantly, they will put on their red hat and get in line to vote for your candidate. Keep America Great 2020. Ah, yeah, wow, that's brilliant. You know, or it's a binary choice, and you either vote for one guy or you vote for the other guy, and, you know, one guy's better. It could just be that simple. Justin says, Nick, why are you so cucked to the Eastern time zone despite living in the Central time zone? Talk about a true shill, Central time nationalism. Ex-nationalism. I don't really need to say much more than that. Central time nationalism. Meme thing, nationalism. That's very funny, bro. Name says, Lulbergs will end up arguing themselves in illegally enforced hardcore sex shows in every kindergarten because it's just freedom of expression, though. Yeah, wow, groundbreaking take, dude. So true. America First Jews is chilling with Simon and Alyssa in Jerusalem, Israel, at the America First Jew compound for their first babies meetup. We are cozy by the fire. You jelly? I'm a little jelly, not going to lie. I wish I was cozy by the fire. But instead, I'm cold. I'm cold in Chicago. Glenn says, can't think of a good super chat to send you. So what did you get for Christmas? I got a new comforter. I got clothes. And that's great. And I love it. And I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying wearing them. And man, I'm getting a lot of mileage. Well, let's see. I got a water bottle, which was good. Needed a new water. I had a plastic water bottle. Hello, gay department. Hello, drinking estrogen department. Maybe that's why. Well, I don't know. Why what? I don't know. Maybe that's why I haven't been going like beast mode in the gym, I guess. Maybe that's why I haven't. Maybe the mustache started to go away when the BP water bottle went in, right? I started drinking the plastic and I was like, Maybe it's time to get rid of the mustache. Maybe it's time to stop going to the gym. Maybe these things are connected. So now that I've got a glass water bottle, I'll be alpha mode again. I'll be full balls to the wall alpha mode again. I got a new water bottle. I got a new car radio thing, a new audio console for my car because my one broke. My CD player broke in my car, which wasn't my fault, by the way. I, you know, just put in a CD and then it broke. And it didn't help that I started punching it and they broke the screen and everything. But, you know, it broke first and then I broke it more, which I, you know, it doesn't even really matter. So I got a new audio thing for the car. It's like a touchscreen. It's got a CD player and all that. It's got auxiliary port for my phone, which is good. So I don't have to have the FM transmitter, which sucks, by the way. Hate having to hear static when I'm trying to jam, you know. I'm trying to listen to Hey Moon and Schmoot, and I've got all this static making me rage. What else? I got clothes, got some neckties, some shirts, some sweatshirt type things, some candy. You know, it's very exciting. Very exciting stuff. So that's what I got. What did I give for Christmas? I can't say for my dad. I didn't give it to him yet. He's traveling. I got my mom slippers. I got my sister makeup thing. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even do any of the shopping. I was like, hey, mom, what does my sister want? She's like, oh, I got her this. I'm like, okay, can I just like give you the money for that? She's like, okay. And my sister's like, oh, I'm going to get mom these slippers. You want to like split it? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? I text my mom last minute. I'm like, should you get anything for dad that I could just buy? Like, because I don't know. I guess I'm a bad person for that. But I'm not very good at like gift giving. I know it's like a cop out, but it's just like, I don't know what people want. I don't even know what I want. People are like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I don't know. Books? Like, I don't even know. I've got everything I want right here, okay? It's the good stuff, you know? Loving life. I love life. I don't need stuff. I love stuff, but I don't need it. Burgish Muffin says, it was fun destroying you on Halo last night. Yeah, thanks a lot for that. That was really fun getting wrecked in Halo for like 3 hours, getting spawn killed, just getting murdered in a game I don't play very much. Very fun. But I guess it's good to see your warrant just like a total random. I was thinking like you were just like some guy who just happened to come into our lobby. But yeah, it was fun. Let's see. Bert says, do you think black people are really good at lip reading the N-word, like in traffic and stuff? Probably. Yeah, I think probably. It's not like a hard word to figure out, right? I'm not going to do it. No, don't do it. I always have to catch myself. I was going to do the Chinese eyes recently. I'm about to mouth the N-word. Like, I'm always like very close to just doing something totally unoptical. It seems like it's very easy to decode, though, right? Mark says the Beatles are kind of gay, though. They are kind of gay, but I don't know. I grew up listening to them, so. Leroy says, hey, missed you, bud. Had to listen to Rant Nation and Poplitics to pass the time, but glad you're back. Well, hey, I'm not back for long, so I might be back to those for you. Thalen says, today Donald Trump retweeted Charlie Kirk, and the mainstream media is talking about a transgender mother who injected her son with poo. Let's hope America in the 2020s is better than this. Yeah, well, I'm not really too hopeful. Matt Levine says, hey, big guy, great meeting you at SAS last Saturday. Thanks for the pic. Just kind of hanging out. Winky face. Yeah, no problem, big guy. Nice meeting you. Torchon says, IRL events are the biggest white pill. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Justin says, Nick, did you seriously not know that the marketplace of ideas means anywhere other than crosswalks and sidewalks? Yeah, very true. Good point. Bob says, bro, Austin, your super chats suck. Finally, somebody says it. Yeah, it's a thought that counts, you know. You know, your heart's in the right place here, but yeah, bra moment. Anand says, you know how people put their birth year in their username like Jose Gonzalez 2006? Now we're going to see years from 2010s like George Romero 2014. I'm old. Dude, I'm not ready for that. Then again, people that were born in 2010 are like 9 now, so it's going to be a little while. But it's going to be like 5 years maybe before we see that. But yeah, I understand. Ja G says, I live in Georgia and went shopping the other day, and I was astounded by how many minorities there were. After seeing one white person, I saw a kid run up to his mommy and say, "Mommy, I saw a unicorn." I don't know if I believe that, but yeah, I mean, it is noticeable in shopping malls. Pre-Marina says, "How is your Christmas, Nick? Looking forward to the stream tomorrow and to an even better decade." Yeah, me too. Christmas was good. Groyper says, "This super chat is a shout out to my lovely wife on her birthday. Honey, I skipped lunch today, so I'm going to be really hungry when I get home. Don't flush the toilet." Okay, yikes. Cringe. I'm not going to finish that one. That's just weird. Andrew says, "Merry Christmas. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh, Andrew Klavan, and Laura Ingraham. Now they're who I listen to while I wait for America First to come on." Yeah, yeah. Epic. Cool. Jack says, "Looking back to the days of unironically watching Daily Wire and laughing. Cringe department." Yeah, I know, right? Another Leviathan says, "Planning on popping fireworks this New Year's Eve. Also hope you had a great Christmas with family. Cheers, lad." Yeah, cheers. Yeah, probably. Ben Adams says, "Movement leaders, Halo stream last night was a fat schmood. Plus, love seeing y'all play the Rob Smith game mode." Infected, waiting for Halo Groyper Summit 2020. Yeah, it's going to happen. Another Wishful Zoomer says, "Had to send in a super chat, big guy. Last one of the decade. Also, very much looking forward to your marathon stream tomorrow. Best believe I'll be there." Well, hey, hope to see you there. Thanks for the super chat. Alternate says, "How wicked and hollow you are." Literally everyone at Fox News. Yeah, and somebody else, another notable person too. "How hollow and wicked you are." One of these days, that's going to come out and it's going to be so funny, man. It's from a very esoteric conversation, let's just say. "How hollow and wicked you are." So funny to me. It's so funny when people call me these things. Owen says, "If you view someone as a garbage human being, as Ben called you during a speech, what would you do if they approached you, your parents, and sister in the middle of the street?" I would probably, if you view someone as a garbage human being, what would you do if they approached? Oh, so Ben called me a garbage human being, and then I approached him as he was with his parents. Well, I don't know what, he wasn't with his sister. He wasn't with his parents. He was with his wife and kids. If somebody like that approached me, I would, like everybody else said, I would probably let the family go on, or I would follow them into the hotel and then come back outside, you know, and confront them. The thing is I would never do what Ben Shapiro did and hide from a confrontation like that. I just wouldn't do it, you know? And if I did want to attack somebody without confronting them, if they confronted me, I would stand my ground. The fact of the matter is, Ben Shapiro is, even if he wasn't with his family, he would have done the same thing. That's what people don't realize. Or if they do, they're playing dumb. Ben Shapiro didn't scurry away because he was with his family. He scurried away because he's a coward. And he happened to be with his family. So all these, oh, he's his family, whatever. It's like, no, if he was not with his family, he would have done the same thing. Do you think he would have turned and said, like, "I'm going to engage with you"? Or he wouldn't have even looked in my direction. It would have been the same thing. We all know that. So that's the bottom line. Trey Barr says, "Had to post this early so it's not read at the end of the night. When you get mad that there are too many super chats and start counter signaling everyone, God bless you, Nick, and Merry Christmas." Yeah, Merry Christmas. AmeriChad says, "Trump signs the anti-Semitism bill and not even a week later blocks a motion that would recognize the killing of Christians in the Armenian genocide. How are boomer evangelicals still asleep?" I know, the Armenian genocide is such a red pill. Dude, nobody cares, man. Wow, they didn't even think about that. Nobody was like parsing through the news and comparing and contrasting unrelated things for higher themes. How are they not awake? Dude, like, really? Yeah, your average person is like, so they're recognizing it. So anti-Semitism needs to be a problem. But I just looked in I'm reading all of the news. It's not a huge headline, but I saw in the news. Doesn't recognize the Armenian genocide. Well, these seem to be contradictory because I'm comparing these two things. And the fundamental principle underlying them is in contradiction here. No, dude. They're just like, yeah, Trump. Go team. Go red. Yeah, Republican. Eat shit, liberals. I mean, like, that's, nobody's thinking about it now. Wow, how are they still not awake? Because most people are NPCs? Because 80% of the population is the unthinking masses? Maybe that's why? How are people not awake? The Armenian genocide isn't even recognized. Dude, like, who cares? How do you not, Holocaust Remembrance Day? Like, so much of it is so egregious and obnoxious. People are like, Armenian genocide, well, that's the last straw. That's too out there, really. Elijah says, good afternoon, Nick. Did you see a real populist America First movement rising in the 2020s that is reactionary or traditionalist in its nature? Maybe. Mr. Camus, his thoughts on Art Deco 2020, LARPy. Andrew says, God bless you in everything you do, King. Thanks. Rachel says, in a chat with some Turning Point kids, including Lance and Deos Day. Don't know who that other guy is. They recently found out, I love your show. Don't think they like me anymore. Oops. Oops. Yeah, Lance videos, kind of cringe, though. I saw a very sad video of him over the weekend. Very sad. Somebody showed me a video. I almost don't want to say this is bordering like bullying, but, you know, we have to bully these people so they make the right decision. There was this video of him at prom. It actually broke my heart a little bit. This is why I say I'm for the Zoomers, okay? Lance at one point was like, I'm not your bro. I'm like, no, but you see, you are my bro. You're a white Zoomer. You're a gamer. We are brothers. And sometimes tough love is required. Sometimes you have to be humiliated and embarrassed. And this guy, it was this Instagram video. I know it's sort of petty, but it was this video of him from like prom, his prom in high school, where he was like in the corner doing like magic tricks with cards. And I'm not saying this in the way that you might think I am. Somebody, and he posted this thing with the video where it was on Twitter, where he was like, well, some people aren't popular in high school, but that's okay because they're going to be rich one day and blah, blah, blah. And it accompanied this video of him. He was like, maybe they don't get asked to prom, but blah, blah, blah. And it accompanied the video where he's sort of like in the corner shuffling around a deck of cards. He's on his phone. And, you know, part of me was like, oh, yeah, poor guy, poor Zoomer, gamer, loner, one of us. But at the same time, it's like, where are you, Lance? Come home. Come home, Lance. You are one of us. You know, he thinks that if he sells out, he thinks that if he takes the paycheck, and you know how he has to take the paycheck, he has to get on his knees and please, Benny Johnson, please give me my stipend. Please let me be a content creator. Please let me be a video creator. He thinks that if he sells out, it's going to fill this hollowness inside of him, that it's going to make him feel good, that it will, you know, get him prestige. He'll feel like a human being that has worth, but it's not going to happen. Because how do these people take the money? It's demeaning. You know, Benny Johnson's like, open your mouth, and he like puts a wad of cash in his mouth. Yeah, good. I mean, that's like how it happens. That is essentially what's happening. There's no dignity in that. That's gross. These people are disgusting, and that's like literally what happens, but that's what it might as well be. It's like the most demeaning, disgusting, hierarchical thing there is. Nothing dirtier than politics. And so I see a guy like Lance videos, and I'm like, Zoomer, come home. Come, and look, I mean, we don't need you, don't get me wrong. Don't take this as like desperation. You're only going to have so many opportunities to come to the right side. Ultimately, I mean, you will become the enemy. You're not the enemy now. This guy's a teenager. He's like 18 or something. Teenagers are not my enemy, especially not Zoomers. But I see, you know, it's just like in Star Wars, I see the conflict in you. There is good in you. You can become a Groiper. You can become on the right side of history. Be a real conservative. Be a real patriot. And not be a faggy, like, Turning Point shill. But you got to come over. You got to come over soon. So, you know, with Lance videos, yeah, he's trying to counter-signal Jaden. He's got to be uptight. Benny Johnson says, I can't talk to you guys. Benny Johnson says, I can't say that I hung out with you guys. When are you going to realize? Groypers are, we're having more fun, we're more epic, we're more red-pilled, we're right, we're on the side of God, and you're like, I don't even know, some like cringe whore for Benny Johnson. It's just very sad. Chovas, this is a rising DJ duo. I have a lot of respect for your intelligence. How do you see celebrities suppress their true beliefs into the next decade? What kind of question is that? I don't even know what that means. I don't think celebrities have true beliefs. Marichad says, are you a blimp enthusiast? No. Ian says, scrappy new year. Okay, you too. Billy May says, I have hope for our future because one by one, more people who follow mainstream conservatism are getting sick of the constant libtard-owned Trump good like I did. Hopefully, unlike me, they don't fall into the black pill first. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's white-pilling. People are in our direction, I think. I think the trajectory points towards us. Sotirio says, Merry Christmas, King. Did you get to see the video of the vegan lunatics disrupting Latino workers at In-N-Out? That's like an ancient video, but yeah. Fat Girl says, no gummy bears at Papa John's. No, I didn't get the I got the garlic knots and the 14-inch pizza. Elron says, make me believe. Yeah, oh, I want to see ya. Get it shouty. Okay. Big John says, hey, I know the Chicagoan you loves Kanye, but the Italian kingpin in you would appreciate some Jay-Z. The discography is on Spotify now. Okay. Noose says, why did environmentalists protest the Ben Shapiro and Benny Johnson meetup? I don't know. I didn't see that. Warren says, congratulations to Simon. Yeah, congrats. Torchon says, the drama all subsuing me. I'm on AF talking like it's just you and me. I'm just saying, nice to see you, Ben. I am one of the tribe men. I don't go to Purim. Okay, funny Kanye check. Which one is that from? It's from, Can't Tell Me Nothing, right? Yeah, I think that's right. Or is that from, is that from Gorgeous? I think it's from, what do you call it? Pretty sure it's Can't Tell Me Nothing. Right? Yeah, Can't Tell Me Nothing. Yeah, I got it. Sneaky Onions has got rejected from AIM. Email said, I didn't have a developed ideology, plus they had OPSEC concerns. Mega Blackpill and AIM thinks you're a retarded fed. Yeah, sucks to suck, dude. Zachary says, getting cozy and eating eggplant parm with the GF while watching America First is the best way to spend a Friday night. Hope your Christmas was good, King. Thanks. Likewise. Hope you enjoyed yours. Boss Vivo says, fake conservatives have yet to learn. Pour millions in a secret formula, thinking tanks and Big Mac research. Oh, formula think tanks and Big Mac research. You will still never know Big Macs in the same way as an Afro-Latino that has tasted a single bite. Yeah, that's so funny and true. I'm like, my throat hurts so bad. I can't even tell. My allergies have been so bad the past 3 days. Just like constant nasal drip, sniffling. I'm in like physical pain. I hope you understand. I'm not like just that agitated. I'm just in like physical pain with my sinuses. That like hurts to read these. Justin says, dear Lord Fuentes, what are you doing to ring in the New Year, King? Get an Impossible Burger. Hold the estrogen on me. It's the estrogen burger. That's the new meme. Yeah. I don't know. What am I doing for the New Year? I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably going to have a party. Probably watch the ball drop in Times Square. Probably fireworks. We're going to have a fun time with friends and family. I don't know. Mr. Lennon says, yeah, Lord Fuentes' estrogen burger. Ha ha. Man, I just can't, man. I'm losing it. It's 2010s are almost over. It's just a few more minutes, all right? And then the decade is over. And I've completed the decade. Mr. Lennon says, gamer is the new protected class. Oh, yes! Yes, it's so good! Yeah! That's so true! American meme culture was built off our backs, and it's illegal to say R-word in a parking lot. GF reparations now. Yeah! That's so good, dude. You're killing it. We're all killing it. We're all going to make it. The 2020s, the future is bright. We are all going to make it because of that. Harold says, you look tired, King, or is that an eggnog hangover? No, I'm just tired. I'm just tired, dude. Trust me, I'm just tired. I'm doing great. Just a little tired. Let's see. Balthazar says, one major goal for us in the 2020s should be ensuring most of the Zoomer generation has a stable foundation. Great idea. No debt, nutrition, fitness, skills, trades, relationships, mass collection of knowledge. Great idea. I agree. You know, Zoomers should just be optimal and improve themselves. Yeah, it's a fine idea. Calaveras is growing the stash out for 2020. Looking good, King. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Now that I'm going to go away for a week, I don't feel as bad as being in the transition state, you know, where your beard looks kind of like bad. Because there's like clean shaven to like somewhat of a beard is like a weird, awkward phase in the middle. So if I'm on vacation for that, maybe it eases the process a little bit. Let's see. Blue Satoshi says, last year of the decades, 2020, we start counting years from one. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. What a stupid comment. Franz says, AIU subvertedly, I think you mean subversively, use the video of your confrontation of Ben while talking about incels. Also, are you going to use Impossible Burgers to transition? Haha, yeah. AIU is irrelevant. I don't know why that matters. Leroy says, wait, no, not another week of Rant Nation and Poplitics. Elston says, digging the 5 o'clock shadow. Mustache Redux, missed you in West Palm, but I guess I'll always have Miami. Happy New Year, King. Yeah, Happy New Year. Nubia says, it's very interesting how Turning Point sends a certain demographic to usher you off the SAS conservative plantation. Really makes you think. Yeah. Harris says, when Charlie called you a Groiper grifter, is he implying that you are a fake Groiper and that he is a genuine Groiper? Is Charlie our guy? Maybe. I think he was just saying, like, Groipers are grifters. He's the Groiper grifter. You know, maybe that was an attempt at just, like, alliteration, consonants there, but it's possible. Yeah, I'm, as opposed to Charlie Kirk, the true Groiper, right? Hidden Groiper. Crouching Wojak, hidden Groiper. Bryant says, America First getting upgraded to InfoWars Studio. JK, but thanks for all the great shows so far. Can't wait for 2020. Americhad says, congrats on 80K on Twitter. Huge growth. Yeah, thanks. Tyler says, for a Uber Eats burger during the 10-hour stream tomorrow. Hey, thanks. Morton says, RIP Joe Rogan. Yeah. Kel says, hi, Nick. Thanks for red-pilling me on the Catboy question. Very cool. Changed my life. Some people just don't get it. Some people don't get it. They never will. Persona non grata with a big super chat. Thanks a lot. Another Leviathan says, might frick around and write your name in at the 2020 elections. And notice he says, write your name, but he isn't writing, but he spells it R-I-G-H-T. Might frick around and write your name, R-I-G-H-T, at the 2020 election. So I can see I'm not the only one getting a little exhausted here. CEO of Racism says, just want to immortalize myself in the 2010s. Enjoy. Congrats, you've done it. Colin says, hey, Nick, can I get a birthday check? Turned 24 today, so I only have 6 years before I'm a perma-cringe boomer. Pray for a Nicker. Yeah, happy birthday. As far as I'm concerned, you're kind of already there. Danger Aaron says, Nick, I'm taking a break. Couple days later, breaking news, Trump just ended the Federal Reserve. Yeah, I know, it is going to work out that way, right? Faticati says, glad you will always be on YouTube. Keep it up, even if the world's smallest talk show host comes after you. Yeah. Anon says, you're 24, you're not young, banned from the movement. Yeah, my thoughts exactly. Franz says, Nick, this is going to be the last episode of America First for the decade. Me, one last time this decade. It must be done. Pee pee poo poo. Ah, good job. Austin says, tried to have a rational discussion with my Protestant relatives about why I'm Catholic, but they all ended up getting angry. Crazy. What a crazy story. Wow. What a notable interaction. Oh my gosh, Austin, what's going on, big guy? I tried talking to my liberal friends and explain why I'm a conservative, but they all got mad at me. Okay. I'm waiting for the punchline. There is no Austin says there is no punchline because it's not a joke. Wait a minute, you're serious, aren't you? You mean to tell me your Protestant relatives got mad at you? Try to have a rational discussion with my Protestant relatives about why I'm Catholic, but they all end up getting angry. Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline. or anything at all, you know, anything interesting in there. Okay, thanks for the status update. Walked down the stairs, ended up on another floor, right? Like, went to the elevator, pressed button number 2, got to floor number 2, walked outside. You know, more interesting tales. Brian says, since it's the last America First this year, I gotta ask, when will you finally send your pinky to pinky culture from April? I don't know what that means. And he says, get a Snapchat. No. I have a Snapchat, but it's not for you, okay? Get a Snapchat. I have one, not for you, not for the masses. That's my private Snapchat, okay, for friends and family. Okay, I have to have, look, I love social media. I have to have some of it for myself, not all for the for the masses. Get a snapshot. Why don't you get a life? How about that? Have you ever thought of that? How about get a life? fitting way to end the 2010s, right? Get a snapshot. Get a life. Shoddycast says, this is a great show. What is your favorite Star Wars movie and character? Finally, a good question. Favorite Star Wars movie, Revenge of the Sith. Easily Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3. I think probably Empire Strikes Back is the best one, like the best, like highest quality, but Revenge of the Sith is my favorite. Favorite character's got to be Palpatine. I would have said probably somebody else, but the new movie definitely cemented, like, nah, he's definitely... Because I went back and watched some of the old clips, and he's just the best. Maybe him or Obi-Wan Kenobi are probably the two best ones easily. You know, Palpatine's got the best lines. He's the best actor. I don't think there's any bad scene with him in it. Same with Obi-Wan, really. And Star Wars 3 is just so Kino from start to finish. You know, the battle over Coruscant is the first scene, epic. And from start to finish, it's just nonstop action, good stuff happening. And it's not even like just pure fan service. It really is, just feels like a climax of the prequel trilogy, you know? Let's see. Joshua says, Nick's mom vigilantly cooking chicken for the fifth night in a row, and boom, a hole blows through the wall, revealing Nick's clenched fist. Incoherent screams regarding super chats and cringe now audible. Yeah, she lives in fear constantly. Fists flying, holes in the wall. She says I'm very volatile. It's like, I would never hurt you. I would never attack you, okay? But I'm a little volatile. Pounds Aesthetics, it's an Italian thing. You got to just get used to it, I guess. Pounds Aesthetics has went into the 2010s feeling majorly blackpilled, going into the 2020s feeling like a king. America First is making huge waves. Yeah, big agree. Franz says, have you seen the Pentagon warning about 23andMe? Yeah, but, you know, again, people don't actually read the article. The Pentagon warning was that if, from what I understood it to mean, if soldiers read their reports about their medical reports in particular, then if they think they have, like, medical conditions, it messes with their preparedness. That's what I interpreted it to mean. If you read the art, everyone's like, Pentagon concerned about 23andMe, and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to project what I think about 23andMe into this article. It's like, well, if you read it, they say the concern is about hereditary, I think, like, medical situations and how that affects readiness. Storm says, I'm starting to think Charlie Kirk is a real jerk. Yeah. Pineapple says, it seems to me there are two types of people, those who go towards sin and those who go away from sin. I don't think it's a static good or evil. No, that's not true. That's just not true. Everyone is a sinner. Carl says, Agenda 21 in full effect. Happy New Year. Yeah, likewise. L. Ron says, RIP Don Imus. Yeah, he was based. Stuck says, I saw Frozen 2 with my family the other day. And man, that movie was bullshit. Basically, historical revisionism for kids. Well, it is a cartoon, you know. Fortunately, my family is pretty base, so everyone hated it. Proud. Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad that your kids hated Frozen 2. Dr. Taylor Marshall says, men in the 2020s need to nut up and repeal the 19th. If this isn't addressed, within 25 years, we will see a TikTok thought in Congress. It's already here, right? Isn't like AOC on TikTok? AGH with a big super chat. Thanks a lot. Franz says, why aren't you invited to Millennial? Because I'm not gay. Anonymous says, Bangor, Maine, believes in you, King. Project Mayhem. Okay, disavow that part. Brandon says, Nick, are you investing your super chats into cryptocurrency? I recommend XRP over anything else. Check out the recent news in Ripple, having been to the White House twice to meet with Donald Trump. I don't like to talk about what I'm investing in. But needless to say, it's being invested. Logan says, more and more Sam Hyde's 2070 paradigm shift predictions coming true. Yeah, true. Not a Scholar says, in 2020, you have to pray the rosary daily and go to church every Sunday. Also, EU will be upended politically and economically with the med debt crisis still lurking. Happy New Year's from Denmark. Yeah, Happy New Year's. Anon says, boomers be like, yeah, we don't have a wall, but the economy is up 2%. All their kids are $1,000 in debt and can't find jobs they outsourced. Yeah, so true. Billy Mays says, pre-boomer generation have lots of kids. Boomer generation, let's encourage birth control and pass young people-dependent policies for when we're 65. Yeah. Yeah, good going, right? Sublin says, I hope you had a happy Hanukkah, Nick. May they be our greatest ally for another 2,000 years. Haha. Legalized Ketchup says, what are some of the things I should look for the most if I want to spot God's chosen people on the internet or in person? I don't know what you mean by that. Ahu says, they say at Christmas, it's the thought that counts, but some years the thought really counts. Hope my Knickers had a good one. Looking forward to 2020. Yeah. Hope you had a good Christmas. Mark says, shouldn't the robotics issue balance out the age demographics problem? Robots will take jobs that old people can't do. Yeah, but then we have all the immigrants left over, so. KV says, what's the difference between a chickpea and a garbanzo bean? I don't pay $50 to have a garbanzo bean on my face. Well, that's pretty funny, actually. That's gross, but it is very funny. Franz says, trend number 11, 9 out of 10 super chats will be cringe. I think we're approaching 10 out of 10, actually. Name says, you don't pay robots, dummies. How will we redistribute wealth through the consumption and payment for labor dynamic? We can't. It's a money vacuum. Yeah, the problem of scarcity will be interesting in the era of robotics and automation. Morton Trump says, but will black robots have low unemployment? Oh, yeah, yeah. The jokes just keep coming. Yes. Good joke. Excellent joke, my friend. I am laughing. Bro, the whole squad is laughing right now. Bro, I'm wheezing right now. That was so funny. Inner City Democrats is, can I get a cyberpunk check for the 2020s? Yeah. Yo Mama says, hi, Nick. It's your favorite Chicago femoid. Great. I must confess that I'm a Mexican anchor baby. Reagan was stupid to give amnesty before building a wall. I also agree Trump is making a mistake by boosting the economy before building a wall. More illegals. Well, thanks for the big super chat, but I don't know, man. Gotta go. Maybe you gotta go. Legalized Ketchup says, how do you take your coffee? How much cream and sugar? What flavors or brands? What the kind of question is this? I don't drink coffee. Fran says, what's your take on the new Kevin Spacey video? I just think it's funny. Nothing really matters anymore. It's all just a big joke. Austin, here we go, says, I was one of the guys lined up around the building donating plasma for $50. Spent $35.12 on Super Chats and the other $14 and close to 90 cents on Big Macs. Good one, dude. Jim says, moral capitalism is just code for technocrats and corporatists dictating moral and cultural norms to us instead of the other way around. Yeah, that's a good point. Franz says, trend number 12, pee-pee-poo-poo. Yeah. Punish Two Aces out of the darkness. The sun will rise. Don't get blackpilled, guys. Don't get blackpilled, guys. Okay. Hey, guys, don't get blackpilled. It's going to be good. Okay. Okay. All right. I won't. I'm no longer blackpilled. JC says, I can't wait to have to change or charge my smart jacket and smart pants. Same. Morton Trump says, in space, no one can hear you pee-pee-poo-poo. Yeah. Les says, my first Super Chat ever. Huge fan. It's my birthday. Hope to meet Nick someday. Me too. Glad Nick is super successful. God bless and keep up the good fight. Well, hey, happy birthday. Thanks. Yeah, can't wait to meet you someday. AGH says, whatever happens in Europe, white flight concentrates people, hopefully with a change towards self-preservation. After these social experiments have destroyed once flourishing areas. Yeah, hopefully. Ian says, do you support the Assad regime? Yes. Fran says, huge anus 2024. You've heard it here first. President Janus 2024. Yes. Anand says, Russia had 800,000 abortions last year and a fertility rate of 1.75 while suffering AIDS epidemics. What are you talking about, LMAO? Yeah. I love when I say Russia in some ways is in the right direction. People are like, yeah, but one thing is bad. Oh, yeah. No, you're right, though. No, but you're right. Yeah, it's definitely hard to parse out what I meant because abortions are happening in Russia, definitely. Like America doesn't have, I'm pretty sure America had like a million abortions last year. And the fertility rate for whites is about the same or lower. So the question is the trajectory about the culture. What are you talking about, LMAO? Just stop watching my show, maybe. Super chats aren't good from you, so maybe just stop watching if you can't get it. MS with a big super chat. Thanks a lot. Temple chances rejoice, for God's temple is complete. Okay. Brock says, China leases American companies satellites for their technocracy. Sure, the U.S. doesn't tap in to see it work. Okay. Race is very insightful take on self-driving cars. I remember how my car and ability to leave campus when I wanted were crucial to my peace of mind in college. Yeah. Temple says, templechan.org, rejoice for the Holy Land is here. Name says, we'll just have robots live for us. Fantastic. Yeah. Charles says, what would you say about acquiring student loan debt as someone starting college in 2020, taking into consideration the downward economic trend predicted? It depends on your situation. Zach says, smartphones have already proven people are absolutely willing to sacrifice certain degrees of autonomy and agency for convenience and pleasure. Yeah, that's true. Punish Chewy says, 5 days until India's superpower. Yeah. Tim W. says, scroll down too far. Where are we? Wow, we got a lot more. Can't wait. I love it. I love this. Tim says, 2020 sounding a wee bit dicey, not to mention crazy AF, LMAO. Sounded like you were describing Armageddon, yeah. Harold says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Can't wait to become a minority in my own country. Yeah. Francis Sticks trying to garden pill everyone in the live chat. Fat Nibbus says, white flight is the cringe boomer response to ethnic conflict and multiracialism. You really think the feds don't know about Idaho, bro? They'd had Muslims living in Montana for like a decade now. Phillips says, this ends in hyperinflation via printed money to pay debt, conflict, unless people accept IQ stats, differences between ethnicities, and turn back to God as one nation. States will segregate and secede. That's the inevitable, yep. Burlington says, Brittany Venti killed Epstein. Can't stop the truth. Funny. Marge says, video games are going to become more realistic. Smooth says, I am thankful to see a growing backlash to the homo agenda. Christians will not be silenced. So true. Amorton says, Sticks trying to garden pill the chat. Justin says, F for the nappy-headed hoe and jigaboo, Don Imus, just booked my Airbnb and flight for CPAC. Can't wait to meet you, bro. God bless. Yeah, F for Don Imus. He was good. Yeah, can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see everyone. Angel of Wrath says, heathens are such fags. DMJ versus cringe, D-gen, libertarian Sticks encapsulated this perfectly. Bacons and fedoras be like, hello, fellow right-wingers. Yeah, true. Fran says, 2020s be like going from vibe check to wife check. Yep. America vs. Jews says, the 2010s will forever be remembered as phase one of the Groiper Wars. Yeah, true. Chic Nihilism says, was too bad that Mr. Mosby kicked you out of SAS for running in the lobby. Okay, that's a good one. Charlie Kirk be like, no running in my lobby. Edgy and me and Patrick Casey be like, we're doing the Zach and Cody handshake, me and Jaden McNeil. We're doing the thing. Me and Jaden McNeil on one of those bellhop carts, right? Or what do they call those? The suitcase cart. And we're skating on it through the lobby. Classic Sweet Life hijinks. We are the Martins. Edgy says, who is Esteban? Who would be Esteban? I guess I'm Esteban, unfortunately. Edgy says, Nick, have you taken the Mew pill? No. Anon says, haha, Nick, no e-girls, am I right? Stelizzi says, melanocyte-stimulating hormone cures cavities. I'm going to look this up right now, because the last time I went to the dentist was like, you have a small cavity. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll just brush my teeth more. I was like, you have a small cavity, you should maybe get your wisdom teeth out. I'm like, how about a no for both of those? Dentists still have you bite fluoride paste, Camel passes the needle. What? What does that have to do with it? Lone Slav says, I wish Super Chatters would actually address the topics you bring up in the first part of the show. I guess. I don't really know what I want. It's just not this, you know? Slappy says, I don't worship Jesus. Okay, yeah, you're just banned right out of the gate for that. Austin says, okay, you disavow Squidville, but you can't deny its success. I disavow your disavow. Okay, funny moment. Chicken on a Raft says, for the love of God, everyone planning for the collapse by investing in Bitcoin, buy property. No currency is insulated from Somali immigrants. Dude, is anything insulated from the collapse? Buy this for the collapse. Buy that. Dude, just buy firearms. Just buy a firearm, buy a little bit of ammunition, buy a small store of food. That's all you need. You can't prepare. Fiat will be worthless. If it collapses, you think people are going to be doing these highly sophisticated computer transactions with Bitcoin? Oh, the new internet, the post-collapse money is flash drives with hashes. What? No, or it's precious metals, maybe. But to me, what you should be investing in for the collapse is a firearm, a small amount of ammunition, a small amount of supplies. Here's why a small amount. Because if you have a lot, people will kill you and take your stuff. So don't have a lot of stuff. Sirio says Vox Day just did an entire stream about striking, suing, and arresting YouTubers. Says he thinks some of the Knickers hacked his website. He uses satanic monikers to sound cool. He's gross and old. Yeah, I agree. We're not hacking anybody. All these people, it's like whenever anything goes wrong, they're like, oh, it's Nick Fuentes' guys. We literally, all we do is eat hot chip and game. We eat Big Mac and game. Second account, thanks for the big super chat, says, happy 2020 and a late Merry Christmas. I don't care how much hate I get, Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars movie. Definitely agree. But thanks, Happy New Year. Noah says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I've been promoting your show to my friends. What do you think are moves people can make to spread America First locally? Just, I don't know. Tell your friends about the show. It's that simple. But Happy New Year. Citizen response, sorry to hear you have BOFA, Nick. Please get better. Anas is sending off 2010s with a couple holes in the wall. Yep. They are there. Not Smart says there's a small metal piece called a collar stay. I don't know what that is. Bourbon says stack silver and copper. Ear says ethnic-based nationalism is the only way forward. Okay. Goober says, hey, Nick, it's your boy Gooba. When are we going to play Civ in Minecraft again? Haven't been able to reach you since your Discord got deleted. Well, send me an email. I'll send you my assistant's Discord tag. Send me an email. I'll send you my assistant's Discord and we'll get in touch. njfuentesblog@gmail.com. Fran says, are you subscribed to Gumroad yet? Yeah. Cord says, hey, big guy, what do you think of Japan's falling birth rates and economy? What do you think of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe? I think it's bad. Shinzo Abe, I don't really know much about him. Rusty says, you know the Charlie Kirk version of libertarianism. There's nothing libertarian holds in greater contempt than the Libertarian Party. They're similar degenerates that parade homosexuals and pander. Dude, they're all the same. Oh, well, those are the bad ones. Okay, whatever. It's all the same. Chicken on a Raft says, libertarians be like, I'm going to buy Steam games and Chick-fil-A with silver coins when the economy collapses. This is a good plan. Yeah, or with Bitcoin even. I'm going to buy rations with Bitcoin in the post-collapse economy. Yeah, okay. Elijah says, hey, Nick, here's a flash drive for, a can of beans. Elijah says, hey, Nick, I understand the influence of Frankfurt School on our academia. Is it important that people like us start replacing academia? Sure, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Squidward says, pump up kick, song of the decade, maybe. Song of the decade, that's a tough one. Phillips says, who would have thought that the way to invade the most powerful country in the world is to walk across the border unarmed and vote in the government you want? So true. Sulfuric Glue says, please pray for Montenegro. The church there is under violent attack by the leftist government. A bishop was beaten up by police. Praying for Montenegro, for sure. Harold says, you're tired of old memes. Chat tired of old suits. Okay. L. Ron says, goal for 2020 is stop being online. Ban me, King. Okay. Derpy says, will 2020s be the decade of the new Caesar? I don't know. Super says, people are saying the new Star Wars trilogy will be set in the Old Republic. Thoughts? I think that'd be cool. Second account says, oh my gosh, this never ends. Since I've been home, I keep using the AF lingo. I keep saying based and going Christmas mode. Wow, that's so funny, bro. Thomas John says, I don't want to say anything cringe, so I'm just going to donate shekels. Well, too late. Seal Club says, America versus Motorcycle Club. When? Never. RGL, what's your favorite Christmas? Catholic hymn, On Eagle's Wings. I don't know any Catholic hymns. Kyle Frank says, good evening, Nick. Merry Christmas. And my favorite Catholic hymn is Follow God. Good evening, Nick. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I have the opportunity to become president of my campus Turning Point chapter. Should I do it? Yeah. Videos, Inc. says, you made me proud to be a Zoomer. Thanks. You're welcome. Enclave says, it was great to catch you at the airport and at SAS. I know that in 2 years, AF will be the conservative movement. You laughed when I said, I want your endorsement for Congress, but trust the plan. I'm trusting the plan. I'll endorse you, big guy. It was nice meeting you. Rory says, yo, love the show. Play Fortnite duos with me? No. Polish Groiper says, first we snatch the streets, then we snatch the charts. First they had the ear, now we have the heart. Praying for you in Guatemala. Well, thanks. That is Never Let Me Down from College Dropout. Mitchell says, the Ottomans did not orchestrate the Armenian genocide. It was the Young Turks and Kurdish military groups. Turkey is a NATO ally and is hated by Israel. The Armenians are a meme at this point. LMAO. Okay, I don't really care. Makeout Hill says, debate EBZ. He called you out. Who is EBZ? I don't know who that is. Enclave says, hello, wrinkled shirt department. It's not wrinkled. It's just I'm sitting in this way. All right, so Super Chatter. Hey, Nick, no e-girls never. Thoughts, Nick? And you had to look that one up? And you had to look that one up? I wanted to get it right. Hey, Nick, no e-girls. Anand says, punch a hole in the wall. It feels so good, I promise. Yeah, I'm getting there. Swiss Cheese says, look at Trump's retweet about animals. Okay. Unknown of Life says, just got a gaming chair for Christmas. Slogan is, a comfy gamer is a dangerous gamer. Based? Yeah. Fran says, go Biden mode on your wall, King. Okay. Yvonne says, please leave all these dead memes in this decade. Yeah, way ahead of you. Nate says, be sure to hop on DLive and support our guy, Patrick Casey. Yep, for sure. Churro says, what a way to end the decade. Can't wait to see what is to come ahead. Thanks for everything you've done. You're welcome. God bless us all. America first always. Yeah, big agree. Ethan says, falling down is greater than taxi driver. Yeah, maybe if you're a retarded or a woman. What a stupid opinion. Falling down better than taxi driver? Literally, you would have to have autism to think that. And not in a good way. You'd have to literally be a woman to think that. It's so canned. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know, directionally. Like I said, directionally, it's on point. But, McDonald's doesn't serve breakfast past 11. Gay. How about a guy that actually loses his mind, you know? Hey, and another thing. You're never working on construction like you say you are. Hey, golf sucks. Like, it's gay. That movie's gay, okay? That movie sucks. Falling Down sucks. It's total red herring. The guy's like a government spook. He's in the wrong. He doesn't actually go insane. He's just got problems. You know, and all of it's all this like canned social commentary, totally preachy, over the top. Well, what if a guy got mad that he got breakfast, he couldn't get breakfast after 11 at McDonald's? Wow, that was so cathartic. How about a guy that like, you know, just really goes off? How about a guy that just like really goes off? What about a movie about a guy that really goes off? You know, shaves his head, gets a jacket, gets the deploy mechanism, the mechanism. My favorite is when he goes to the FBI agent and he's like looking around. And he goes, you know, you'd have to be careful at a place like this. And they go and they take a picture of him. That's like so Kino. If you like Falling Down better than Taxi Driver, I don't know what else to say to you. Just like you're just wrong, man. You're an NPC. You can't think. I have no shortage of negative things to say about you if that's your opinion on that. You know, so many good lines. I mean, everything about that movie, Taxi Driver, is good. I would say the soundtrack, the, you know, Robert De Niro, the story, just everything about it. So good. Unbeatable. Yamato says, is Portugal based? No. New account says, I just ordered a pizza. I wish that was me. Sick Nothing with the big super chat. Thanks a lot. Unknown of Life says, Happy New Year's. Yeah, likewise. Galgore says, what two letters can you add to a word to make it shorter? I don't know. Delta says, the 20s look like, these are just like $2 and they're all just like trash like this. Delta says, the 20s look like the giant wave and deep impact. Sona Bess says, hey Nick, I found out about you a few months ago and I want to say I love you, King. Keep it up. Thanks, love you too. Anand says, Austin really got the whole squad laughing tonight. Yep. Top content says, they change real estate. Scroll down too far. Change real estate to gentrification. Why? I don't know. Michael says, Happy New Year. Don't get blackpilled. Just kidding. Okay. Roberts is only a few more years of cringe super chats. The Earth's magnetic field is weakening. The sun will micronova. Earth's crust will rapidly shift, causing 1,000 miles per hour winds and 1 mile high tidal waves. Yeah, can't wait. Nukes his thoughts on the music of Autistic Boys, Money Clan. Listen to it. It's better than Kanye. Yeah, doubt. Accident says, Austin, you're an unfunny loser. All right, take it easy. Anon says, flash drives with Rage Comics will be the new currency. Ravenous Lamppost says, I've made an observation in the bookstore. You hardly find any books facing outwards with masculine protagonists on the cover. Could marketing be a possible cause of falling male literacy in the youth? I just want to take my mouse. Yeah, men not being on the book covers. Yeah, that's a new one. Haven't heard that one yet. Bronzo says, rough night, huh? Yeah. Rough night, huh? VG fans, says King, what's your favorite Star Wars video game? Battlefront 2. Battlefront 2, there was also a really good one I used to play on Game Called. It was called Game... What is it? What is it? It was called... It was on GameCube. And what was it called? Star Wars Rebel Strike? Yeah, that's my favorite. Star Wars Rebel Strike. I lost that game. I had it. And I was playing it recently, but I couldn't find it. I tried to find it. I was trying to play it with Party Guy, but I couldn't find it. Star Wars Rebel Strike, Rogue Squadron for the GameCube, classic. Star Wars Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront, talking about the old ones. Star Wars The Clone Wars for PS2, actually kind of sucked, actually, but I played it. Star Wars 3 for DS and Game Boy. You remember it was like a side-scrolling game, very epic. Lego Star Wars was always fun. What else? I'm trying to think. What other Kino? Bounty Hunter was a good one. Star Wars Bounty Hunter with Jango Fett. That's like an esoteric one. Yeah, that's what it's called. Star Wars Bounty Hunter. Pretty fun. Star Wars Jedi Knight. Jedi Outcast. What is it? Star Wars Jedi Knight 2. Yeah, Jedi Knight 2. Jedi Outcast. Epic. Epic lightsaber gameplay, just cutting people down. So those are probably my favorites. RA says, Power is a good contender for Song of the Decade. Yeah, big agree. PNW says, when is Crenshaw going to rip your arms off? I don't know, soon, I hope. Let's see. Punish Chewy says, you seem pretty base, Nick. Know about 1350? Yeah. Peter says, hey, King, will next premium have the backlog? Yeah. Sky says, sorry about your friend Nathan passing earlier. R.I.P. Don't know who that is. Oh, Nathan. Yeah. Did I say that on the show before? Anyway. Fag Behavior says, you speed read my super chat, so I post again. Torchon says, life like this is what true life is like. People know I'm rising, so they edit me with alt-right. Oh, this is just trash. I'm sorry. This is just bad. Anon says, diarrhea. Okay, Tim W. says, you're in every penny tonight, big guy. Happy New Year. Thanks, you too. Thanks for the big super chat. Anon says, smelly poo in McDonald's bathroom. Okay, thanks a lot. Bob says, official last one of the 2010s. Don't send any more. Looks like we have one last one. Aquatic Base Nimbus says, pee pee poo poo. Okay, on that note, that's going to be our last super chat. That's going to do it for us on the show. For tonight, for 2019, for the 2010s, that's going to do it for us. What a painful end, man. Fitting, but a fitting end. Hopefully better in the 2020s. But that's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember to sign up for my email list. I could get banned off of YouTube in the new year. Could happen before the end of this year. You know, who knows? So be sure to sign up for the email list. It's the only way you can find out where I'm going to be if the show gets banned on YouTube. Go to NicholasJFuentes.com. Link is down below. Sign up for the email list. Also sign up for my Telegram. That's also a good backup option. It's t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to subscribe to this channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes, as always. Thanks for watching. Thanks for the super chats. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. And I will see you in the 2020s. I will see you back on Monday, January 6th, 2020. Until then, have a great weekend. Have a great next week, I guess. Have a great New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's. And have a great rest of your evening. We will see you next Monday.